Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I tell you, God is good. God is so good. We give him thanks today. We give him the glory because he is worthy at all. He's worthy. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. I'm telling you, I don't care what's going on in your life, what happened to today, what bad report you got today, what happened on your job, what happened in your house, what happened at school, what happened with your spouse. God is worthy. He is worthy of it all. When God show up and God begin to move in our life, begin to move in our household, he is worthy of the praise. He is so worthy that we should be lifting our voice up and thanking him. Oh, my God. Come on, Holy Spirit. We should be thanking God. Some of God had protected. Oh, the Holy Spirit had put he had used his spirit shield you and your family. He had used his spirit to shield you and your spouse and protect you during the pandemic, during this season, during the hour of darkness. Oh, Father God had protect you from the hand of the wicked. He had protect you from that car accident. He protect you from premature death. Oh, God is so worthy to be praised. And we got to lift our voice up even in the bad time, even in the bad season, and give him praise. He loves what we love on him. He loves when we worship him. He loves when we get at his feet. That means get low on the floor and just stretch yourself out and stretch yourself wide. Just like Jesus stretched himself across that cross, you got to sometimes stretch yourself across the flow in your bedroom, or stretch yourself on the flow in the living room, or stretch yourself in that closet and lay at the feet of Jesus and just say, Lord, you are worthy, 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 you are worthy. Come in and have your way. I dedicate everything to you because nothing belongs to me. It's all yours. You can have it all. Come into this place and begin to take over. I dedicate my home as a house of prayer. I dedicate my life to you as a living sacrifice. I give it all to you because you are worthy. Don't nothing belongs to me. Don't nothing belongs to us. The people that's in the building, that's in the church, they don't belong to you. They belong to the Most High. It belongs to the one that sit on the cross. Because how do you know, LaShawn? Because the Bible tells me so. He let us know that all soul belongs to Christ. That's what the word say. I tell you, he is so worthy. I pray that you can hear me tonight. Father God, I ask that you touch every ear that's on here. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled in this hour. You will be filled in this season. It said in his word that you shall be filled. It didn't say maybe, maybe so. It said that you shall be filled. Oh, those who hunger and thirst, don't mind getting at the foot of Jesus. Nothing ain't gonna stop them. No block can't hinder them. Nothing ain't gonna be able to hinder a person that's so sold out for Christ. They gonna do anything necessary to crawl, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She began to get down on her knees and began to crawl to Christ. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. She took that risk. That's how much faith that she had. She was willing to get on the ground and crawl. She only just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Just to him. That's the type of faith. Sometimes you might not can get out that bed. Sometimes it might take you to crawl. You roll yourself out that bed and begin to crawl on the floor. Oh God, let your hymn, just the hymn of that roll that's in heaven. Oh, I'm going to have that type of faith that I'm going to reach up there just to grab the hymn of the roll. I want to let cross the road, and I just want to stay there until you heal my body, until you heal my mind. Oh, that's the type of faith you should have. He's worthy to be praised. Our God, Abba, is so worthy to be praised. He is worthy. Even when things don't look that you're going to get your way out of it. He is so worthy to be praised. There's something, things begin to shift in the atmosphere when you start lifting your voice up and just praise him. You might not know how to pray, but when you start loving on him and giving him thanks and praise, you got to praise your way out. You got to praise your way out sometimes. Welcome tonight. This is your host for tonight, Sean from Texas. I pray that you can hear me clear on the line. If somebody can give me thumbs up, the ones that know how to contact me and let me know that you can hear very clear. You know, last Friday we had it was PGN, they network was down, and I know this week a lot of people been having a problem with their phone and the internet, and I'm just praying that everything is coming through clearly and you can hear, and I just ask God to take over the airwaves. Father God, this is your radio station. We give it to you. I decrease so you can increase. You know what your people need tonight. You knew what they needed before they called in, Father God. You know what each one of us need before we open our mouth because you see it all. So, Father God, I always say you come on here and you have your way. Speak to your people. I'm just a servant. I'm your servant. Names and titles. It don't mean nothing to you, and it don't mean nothing to the adversary, Satan. Oh, he look at a man's heart. So, Father God, I'm here to just be your servant, to speak what you want me to speak. But prayers always work. So, Father God, I ask that you come on in and have your way tonight. You take over. You do what you want to do. You are the church. We are the bride, so come in and have your way. Amen. I thank the Lord. I tell you, I thank him. And I just want to, you know, as I begin to just lay down and listen to Bible verses, I, you know, was just listening to Deuteronomy today. And it was one Bible verse that just caught my attention. And we should be able to speak God's word in a true word. I'm not going to say everyone, but some people want a quick fix. They want a quick fix. And I always talk to my Heavenly Father and always ask them, Father, what is going on? Because what to my understanding, and to those that are faithful, and to those who are sold out, God is the word. He is the word. He's the beginning and he's the end. And you ain't going to be able to get around. You're not going to be able to get around that. He is the word. And he wants you to connect to the word. He is the word. So he said, if you abide in me and my word in you, you should have a connection with God. And this is a season that we need to connect to God like never before. I remember when he began to call me, when I got a word ministry, and I'm just looking at that pastor like, what is this been talking about, because some things you just don't want to do, because you got some lukewarm kind of mind Christian, and I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about ministry, but I was walking in lack of knowledge. I didn't know ministry. We all called to ministry. We are all called to ministry, to do work for the kingdom of God. If you don't know what your assignment, that means you need to spend more time with God, and he's going to reveal it to you himself. What are you called to do? What is your assignment upon this earth? You have to spend time with him in order to know it, because I know I was the one that was sitting in those buildings, and ain't too many people told me what I was going to be doing, what I'm doing now. Sitting in there for a long time until the Holy Spirit, because he spoke to me through the Holy Spirit, through the angel, and told me who I was and my assignment. God did it. It was already there. It just had to be activated. And so I thank God, and I just want to point this Bible verse out. It's in Deuteronomy 28. And when we get down to the verse 13, I'm going to read it to where it could be plain and simple. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move upward and never downward. I think this gets plain as it can get. I'm going to read it one more time. I didn't say you make your own step ahead. It say the Lord. And when we begin to read Bible verse, we have to really understand and ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. When you begin to ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, he's going to begin to open your eyes to the truth of what you're reading. He's going to open your eyes to the truth. There are so many people that sit in the churches, that sit in the buildings, and never spend time with God in the word. They only get the word when they go to church, when they pastors or leader are speaking the word. That's the only word that they get. That's the only word that they get. But they don't go and spend time with God themselves to get in his presence, to eat his word, to understand his word, to know who he is. And when you begin to ask God to open thy eyes to thy understanding, he will definitely give it. He will open your eyes. He will send the angels to you. While you have the book of life, while you have the bread, though you breaking bread with Christ, when you open the Bible and you begin to read the Bible, that's his word. He is the prophet, because he is the living word. So when you begin to study, you have to study for yourself to show yourself approved. A lot of people are missing it because they depending on their leaders and pastors. Well, your leaders, there's different calling in the body of Christ. Because how we know, Paul told us, different calling. Everyone have a calling on their life. Different calling, different assignment. God picked you for a special assignment for you to do in the earth. And if you're not doing your assignment, sometimes by you not doing your assignment can hinder your prayer. And we get so distracted by not doing our assignment that God has called. I'm going to say it again, that God has called us to do. And we are missing the target. We are missing the mark. God tell us go left, but we want to go right. He might tell us to evangelize, but we want to preach. He probably said don't preach, because preaching has a responsibility. They are responsible for the sheepfold. That's their responsibility. So a prophet can't go in there and tell a pastor how to preach. A pastor can't go in there and tell a prophet how to preach. because that's not his assignment. A prophet or apostle or evangelist can't get in the pulpit and tell a preacher, because God had gave him that mantle. God had gave him that assignment. He's responsible for the sheepfold. That's his assignment. But the church is out of order because we got these people. We got people who got all these titles, and God ain't even calling to do half of the stuff they're saying. And so when we go back to this Bible verse, this is the reason why people are missing it, because we walk in disobedience. We are outside the will of God. It says, the Lord, not man, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move upward and never downward. If you hear and carefully, here it go, listen, if you have an ear to listen, if you hear and carefully follow the command of the Lord your God, which I am giving you today, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. I hope those who have an ear understand what I just said, because he make you the head and not the tail. Some of us is not the head, and we not the head. We not the head because we out of order. We not in the will of God. We only in the will of our flesh. We in the will of being carnal minded. We in the will of being lukewarm. And then we are quoting these Bible verses, but it ain't lining up with our walk and our calling. And some people, I tell you, what I see in the body of Christ, in the people today, if you're not prophesying to them, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. When they don't even understand the calling of a true prophet. Oh, my God, we should get somewhere today. They don't even understand the true anointing of a true prophet. Have you not read Jeremiah? Have you not read Ezekiel? Have you not read Isaiah? Have you not read Moses? Have you not read Abraham? Come on. When have you seen them pick and choose who they're going to prophesy to? When have you seen them pick and choose where they can come on and prophesy anytime they want to? Some of them was called to the nation. They had to say what God said. Jeremiah didn't even want to do it. He didn't want to do it. Jonah ran from his calling. You got to get in the book. You got to get in the book. 9 out of 10, if somebody is a prophet of God, they're going to speak the true word of God. They're going to stand on the true word of God, and they're going to speak the true word of God. 9 out of 10, they're going to have a teaching master on them to teach the word of God. And if you pay attention how they teach, they are prophesying through the teaching. Because in the beginning of John, let us know, in the beginning was the word, and the word is God. So anytime teaching the true word of God, my God, I feel you, Holy Spirit. Anytime you're teaching the true word of God, you are in the prophetic, you are in his word. Everybody got this thing twisting. Some people got this thing, the prophetic twisting. Because if you're not prophesying to him about a house, a car, or money, you ain't no prophet. And my people, they are perished. They are getting stuck. They are moving backwards. They keep going around the mountain. They keep swimming in the whirlpool. They keep being stuck because they are perished because of lack of knowledge. They don't have the wisdom and the true word of God because they ain't spending time with God to know when these people are speaking things in their life is not lining up with the book. Oh, my God. I don't know why he... Let me tell you, I get on here and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. So when people begin to speak the truth don't feel good. The truth don't feel good. Because didn't the word tell us, my word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts down to the bone marrow. So I need to cut some things that's in your heart. I need to cut some things that's around on you. I need to get some things that's out of you, because you can't even walk. You can't even see. You don't even see me. You don't even see the plans that I have for your life, because it's good and not of evil. You don't even see me because you is walking in carnality, or you up on some type of ministry that's not teaching the word of God. You want the word. You want a word. You thirsting out the word, but you don't want to get in the word. If you want this Bible verse in Deuteronomy 28, if you want to walk in there, you want God to bless it, you got to read it again. Deuteronomy 28, 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will only move up and never. It's a never. When you get into God, when you sit at his feet, when you see a lot of stuff distracted, because I know, because I've been there. If I'm talking to you, because I had experienced some things in my life. I've been through some things in my life. And the only thing, when you've been through some things, you got to go through something in order to teach something. You have to go through some things in life in order to be God's mouthpiece. This don't happen overnight. You got to be, some people be dragged in order for this to manifest in your life. He said, you're going to go up. It's no way word. You're going to keep going backwards. If you keep going backwards, you keep going downwards, something is wrong. You got to examine yourself. Why am I stuck? Why am I keep going backwards? Why am I keep going downwards? When this Bible verse, Deuteronomy 28:13, tell me, the Lord will make me the head and not the tail. You will only move. Listen, you will only move upward and never down. If you hear and carefully, I mean, you got to examine yourself. You got to make sure where you are treading upon. Is you treading upon corrupted ground, ugly ground, nasty ground, or you treading upon the ground which God told you to go? Which way you going? Which road are you going? Be careful to follow his commandment. Carefully follow the commandment of the Lord your God, not the commandment of your pastor, your leader, but the commandment of the Lord your God, which I am giving you today. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. That means you will mount up with wings like eagles. Everything that's trying to take you down will not be able to take you down, because you're going to mount up, my God. You're going to mount up. You're going to soar over every problem that the enemy is trying to shoot your way. You're going to mount up over that infirmity. You're going to mount up over the problems that's trying to pull you down. And by God's word in this Bible verse said that you should go upward and you will not go backwards, because I'm going to make sure that you stand up and will not be pulled down. You will not be dragged down with negative curse words. You will not be dragged down of what they say. But what do I say? What do my words say? My word is good. My word do not come back to me void. My word gonna stand. My word should not be shaken. My word will not be void, because I'm not a God that shall not lie. If I said it, you better make sure you, I'm telling you, he's going to perform what he said. You got to line yourself up with his will. You got to walk in obedience. Some people are missing because they're walking in disobedience and they letting everything distract them. When God say rest, he mean rest. He mean rest. Do you understand what rest means? That means rest. Cut everything out, because I need to mold you. I need to dip you in that kerosene of fire. I need to put you in the fire because I need to burn some things out of you. I seen what you're going through now. I seen it 2 years ago. See, God's time is so ahead that we can't even keep up with it. He knew what you were going to go through. He knew this day was coming. He's been telling you to rest, but you've been missing it because you're so distracted. Your family, you're so distracted what's going up on that job. You missed it because I'm telling you, warning comes from destruction. He's going to warn you. He's going to warn you first. It's coming. I'm warning you, but this ain't going to, the weapon's going to form, but it ain't going to prosper. That means anything that comes after your body, it ain't going to take you down. You're going to go through stuff in your marriage, but it ain't going to take you down. You're going to go through stuff with your children, but it ain't going to take you out. But I want to go back up to the verse 12. The Lord will open, the Lord will open for you his good treasure house, my God, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and will lend to many nations, but you would not borrow. God got the treasure that we need, but how can we get to it? And we can't get to it being rebellious. We can't get to it. We ain't lining up in his will. He ain't gonna release the treasure. He will make it rain in your household, the treasure. Let me make sure you understand, because when you say treasure, people think it's money and cars and all that. No, treasure. The best treasure you can have is the treasure of life. My God, the treasure of life and life abundantly. That's the type of treasure I'm talking about. Nothing ain't going to take you down. Of course, one day we will have to leave here. We will have to leave here. But after we leave here, where are we going to go? He said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. That's the best treasure. God began to bless the work of your hand. Your people saying, well, how's she doing it? How's she getting blessed? Well, she might be more sold out to Christ than you are. He might be more on his face crying out for the nation. He's not compromising for these churches. He's not compromising for you. He's doing just what God has told him to do. That's why they're going to be in blessed, because right now he's letting us know that he's going to bless your hand. We thank you, Father. Even after we go down, and I'm reading the Amplified now, in verse 14, do not turn aside from any of the words which I am commanding you today, to the right or to the left, to follow or serve other God. This is what he's talking about. Don't you look to the left. Don't you look to the right, and don't you look to the left. Don't you turn aside from any of the words which I command. Don't you turn away. Because when you turn away from the commandment of God, when God's speaking to someone like to give you a word, and this, oh, I'm about to get in trouble. I'm about to get in trouble. When God speak a word into somebody, life to give to somebody to give to you, and you, this how you turn from his word, because God can use anybody. He will use a child when you begin to turn away from what he has spoken. I don't know about that. I do it later. I got to do this. You turning away from what he's commanding, because there's time. You got to move on God's timing. We don't move on our timing. We don't move on man's timing. You got to shift. When God begins to shift, you need to shift with God. You need to shift with the Holy Spirit. If he's shifting, he's saying, come a little higher. Shift with your prayer life. Shift when you turning down that place. Shift when you worship me. There's a time when he is shifting. If you're not shifting with God, hardship. And that means you're not even in the will and you're going to miss it. You're going to keep going around that mountain. You're going to be stuck in that whirlpool. And you're going to be stuck. And he's going to leave you right there until you get it right. Because he ain't going to make you do nothing. So when you begin to turn away for things he commanded, and let me tell you, if he tell you stop doing this, stop eating that, because I see later on they're going to do something to your body. It could clog, that right there, what you eating going to clog up your arteries. I see your arteries clogging up. Stop eating that. Stop eating that sugar alone, because I can see a year now, you might go into a diabetic, and he's telling people to tell you it might not be the way you want them to prophesy, but tell you stop doing that stuff, and you not doing it, there you go. Don't turn aside from any of the word which I command you today. To look to the right or to the left. Some people don't even know idolatry is with the food that you eat. Glutton. Turn away from that. That's not of God. He says, take care of the temple. Take care of the temple. And when he used, God got, that's what I'm saying, people got so many gifts. I give the gift. He got people that he's putting in the church that have the mindset to get your body right. God is using them to do like fitness, because he didn't gave them the word of knowledge or wisdom how to eat natural stuff, herb stuff. He gave that to them. So when they give you a word and you don't want to hear it, he used people like that. Don't limit God. He used people like that. He might told them to go out and pull on the side of the road and get this plant. This plant right here going to heal high blood pressure. But when they begin to present the plant to you, a flower, you going to say, I ain't eating that. See, that will hinder your prayer. And when people speak like this, I don't know, but they talk crazy. They saying something I ain't never heard of. But then Jesus talk. What did the Pharisee tell Jesus? He talking perilous. What kind of perilous speaking he's speaking? Don't limit God in this season, y'all, to hinder your prayer. This Deuteronomy 28:13 is letting us know. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail if you move the way he tell you to move, if you follow his commandment. It might sound crazy to you. It might now sit, because anytime somebody walk in such a faith, some people don't believe people are walking in faith, that much faith, that they cannot be shaken and moved because they done been through something, and they are so sold out to God. They so sold out to Christ. They done told Christ, for you I live, for you I die. And they told their adversary, say, I ain't afraid to die. I ain't afraid. You know, when you open that door, be afraid of death. He gonna buffer you and use it against you. And so you just have some people just have this unmerited, this type of faith, because what they've been through in life, they believe. So when they come to you and tell you all these different testimonies and you ain't never heard of it, because you've been sitting in tradition and religion church with that, it's not God. God is not a bestest God. God is not a Jehovah Witness God. God is not a non-denomination God. He is God Almighty. You cannot put a title on him. Soldiers, buildings that they name, cannot put a title on him. So I hope somebody, this has been blessed. Well, I pray that this blessed someone. Deuteronomy 28, if you read that, it tells you, even in the verse of 15, the consequences of being disobedient. Why are some of these build these churches? Because he already said, my daughter, they are raising up cult. Them ain't no church, those are cult. Why they ain't telling people to come back to Christ, give yourself to Christ, Why are they not speaking the true word of God? Why are they not talking about who Jesus is? He's the bridge. He's the way. You can't even get to the Father until you come through him. Why are they not teaching that? Why are they not teaching there's consequences when you're walking disobedient? You better understand and understand tonight. If you don't hear nothing else, like I said, I don't care if it's two or three people on here, I'm gonna speak the word of God. There is consequence, and how well I know that there is consequence. And when you walking in disobedient, when you walking in disobedient, there is consequence, and there's all type of ways that you can walk in disobedient. Keep rejecting God. He let you know. So I just pray. He pray that this bless you. If you want to get that blessing, you bless in the field, you bless in the city. Everybody likes to quote that to make you feel good. People want to feel good messages, but they don't want the message that's going to whoop you, to correct you, to get you, to edify you, to get you to the place where you need to be with Christ so you can do the assignment. A lot of y'all are missing your assignment, and you don't want to miss your assignment. You have to do what God, and things not going right because you're missing your assignment. God tell you to do something, you're second guessing the word of God. You're second guessing yourself. You're walking in fear and limitation. God is not a fear. He don't want us to fear him because he's not a God for you to fear. He's a God that gives you power, love, and sound mind. When he say, I've given you the authority, the power and the authority to tread upon the serpent and scorpion. He given all authority. Jesus then did what he had to do. Now he sits up above the principality and power. If we are joint heir with Christ, we need to be sit up high, just like Deuteronomy just told us that he will, God will make you the head and not the tail. You will not move. You will move upward and never downward. Let's go back to the Bible verse that we are sitting in high places with Christ, above the principality, above the power. We supposed to be joint heir. That means we supposed to be intercessor. Jesus is the best intercessor. We supposed to be connecting to Christ. We're supposed to be moving up. I know some people don't want to hear this, but okay. Why people ain't teaching this? They want to pick and choose which Bible verse. Oh, no, we the new millennium. We the New Testament. We now that's the old. God's grace is sufficient. Well, what did Paul tell us in the book of Romans? He bid us not. You want to say God's grace is sufficient and forget the law? God forbid you not. You can't forget the law and keep doing what you're doing and say God is so mercy and his grace is sufficient. He said, not so. Not so. His law is his law. God is the law, and he let us know Jesus is the law. When Jesus and the thing about Paul told us, when Jesus died, when he got buried, he risen, he can't die no more. My God, death can't come back to Jesus no more. He defeated death. Paul let us know, when he defeated death and he was risen, he cannot go back. Death cannot hold him down. The grave could not him down. He cannot die no more. He lives, and he lives forever. And that's the same thing when you go get yourself baptized. You baptizing with Christ. You cannot die. You got to die to flesh. That everything that when you get buried with Christ and you come up out that water, that means all your old ways should be passed away. He said, when you come a new creature, oh, behold, all things are passed away. You are buried with Christ. Christ cannot come and die again. He would not die again. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit, because that's what he left here with us, it's the Holy Spirit. And when we connect to the Holy Spirit, we are connecting to heaven. We are connected to Christ. Christ should live in us. There should be no more sin. Now, all of us, like they said, we be on milk. Yeah, we be on milk, but you're going to grow up off that milk. Started eating the true meat. And who is the true meat? Who's the true bread of life? It is Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, Yahweh, Yahshua. Okay, he's Jesus, the Son of Man. He ain't going to come back here. The enemy can't even, no, he ain't going to, no. He risen. So we're supposed to have that type of life too. Amen, Father God. I thank you for the word, Father God. You are so good. You always, I tell you, sometimes I'll be like, whoa, when we just let you come in and have the word, I'm telling you, it's such amazing thing, Father God. And, you know, I tell you, we want the good thing that you can offer. We want to be that. I know I do. I can speak for myself, and I pray that people here on PGN, we want you to make us the head and not the tail. We want to move upward and never down. I know I do. And I always want to walk in your commandment, follow your commandment, that what you have given us today, so you can make me the head and not the tail. So, Father God, I thank you for your word. Father God, I thank you for even with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father God, I just think you know what your people need. Father God, as I release the line and take callers, Father God, I just ask that you continue to move up on PGN in the name of Jesus. So we're going to go ahead and take callers. First caller is 251-342. This is Sister LaShawn Mess who's calling. Where are you calling from?
Well, this is LaShawn. This is Latrice from Alabama.
Hey, Latrice. How you doing?
It is well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, God.
Yes. Well, is there something that we can pray for you on, or you have a special prayer request?
If you would.
Well, Father God, we just thank you for your daughter, Latrice, Father God. Father God, I thank you for the season. I thank you for I just see the fall season. I see the fall leaves and season is changing. I see leaves, the fall. This has to be the fall because I see the leaves and they the orange, the yellow color. And it's a wind, like it was a shift in the wind that is changing the season. So I believe, I don't know, Lord is saying lined up with the season. That there's going to be a wind shifting in your life to line you up with the season. And this is the season that he's putting you on. And whatever this wind is going to shift, this wind is blowing at, it's going to be a good time, it's going to be good in that season in your life. So, Father God, I thank you. So there's I'm telling you, I when I close my eyes, I just seen a wind and the leaves is blowing. And they are different color, beautiful color. It's a wind, it's a shift of the season. And you just go with the season of God, lined up with the season of God, lined up with his time. And just like Deuteronomy said, he's going to make you the head and not the tail. So I declare and decree that over your life, that you are shipped with him in this season, because he's going to give you the treasure, the good treasure, anything you need. when you ship with him, he's going to give you the treasure that you need for that season and that time. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the ship of the season in your daughter's life, and that it was, she always says, Father God, it is well and it will be well, to release the treasure in her life in the name of Jesus, to bless her hand in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you. Amen.
Amen. I just thank you. That was a good word you gave out there.
Oh. Stop
on it. It is real.
We give God the glory. He's worthy to be praised. It's his word.
It is real in spite of.
Amen. Amen. We thank the Father. We thank the Father.
We do tell him thank you. And I thank you for the blessings on you as well, LaShawn, and keep doing what you do, girl.
Amen. God, we thank you for that blessing. I receive it. Thank you.
Amen.
Is there anything else?
That's about it, I believe. I'm just in expectation of whatever you're doing. I have some prayer requests. I'm believing that he will bring them to pass as well. And that's all I got. God is good.
He is good. And like I said, he's going to give you confirmation about it. You're going to know when it starts changing, but there's something in there for you in the fall season.
All right. I believe God.
Amen. We thank
Amen.
You.
And
thank you for calling. Oh, you're welcome.
And have a good one.
You too. Have a blessed weekend. Thank you for calling me.
No problem. Good night.
All right. Good night. All right, our next call is 252-725. This is Sister LaShawn and Mass, who's calling and where you calling from.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you my name and where I'm from, but I changed my mind. My name is Vicki, and I'm calling from Newport, North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Okay, Vicki. Well, thank you for letting us know.
You're welcome.
Vicki.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling in tonight.
You're welcome. I'm so glad I did.
It's always a pleasure.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I was like, I wasn't going to. I hadn't called in a long time. And I was going to not, because it's late and everything. And I was like, well, and I called. I am so glad I did. Because if ever anybody needed what you were preaching and what you were speaking about Deuteronomy and how that, if anybody needed that, I did. I'm stunned, because the thing that I said to the Lord before, I said, God, if you've got to beat my tail in front of everybody, I said, you go ahead, and you said something about something about that. You did. And I was like, Lord Jesus, this is so cool. And I'm so glad that I did call in and I'm listening to what you had to say. And I was like, oh my Lord. And I said, listen to that. She sounds like me, because you said some of the things that the Lord showed me about eating. He told me, and it hurt my feelings really bad, but he told me, he said, food's an idol for you, Vicki. I was like, oh, it is? And then I went, oh, my God, it is. And it hurt my feelings so bad. I cried and I cried. I was like, oh, no. But so I'm so happy I called. I really am. Oh, my goodness. I'm ecstatic, and if my best friend wasn't in the other room asleep, I would be jumping and dancing and shouting and hollering and crying and all over this house. But she's asleep, so I'm trying to be quiet.
That's okay. Oh, my God. I tell you, I thank you for sharing that, because that's what he, and like you say, God word don't feel good sometimes. I've been through some things when I had God. I'm telling you, I didn't got some profit, deliverance. And I kept saying, why do you keep telling me I need deliverance? And and I didn't got that word before. You are hurting your own body. You hurting your own body for not being healed, because you keep eating food that I'm telling you stop eating. It's idolatry. And I don't say, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
His words sometimes don't feel good, but he loves us. That's not because he loves us to tell us the truth. Yeah. He loves us to tell us the truth so we can be healed and we can be set free to come out of bondage and stuff, to be set free from the mindset, the stronghold. You don't want to look. You think Jesus want us to walk around with strongholds and be in bondage?
Mm-mm.
No. That's why he sent his son Jesus here, to set the captives free.
Yes.
But
yes,
some of us still got the mind of the Israel. We still got a slavery mind.
We did.
Some of we think like the Gentiles, and you know, no. So, Father God, I just thank you for your daughter, Vicky, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to, my God, I don't know why I see it, but I seen a pillow, like lay your head on a pillow. My God, and I think that's a Bible verse, pillow, like a pillow of, who laid their head on a pillow? Let me look some up. I'm going to look some up. Okay. Because I know Jacob laid his head on a rock. I'm trying to see something. I'm trying to look it up. Okay, the next morning, Jacob took a stone and he placed it up under his head, and he set it as a pillar. That's what I heard, P-I-L-L-A-R, and pour oil on top. That's okay. That's what I, okay. So, but it's like lay your head there. My God. I don't know if you used to dream, have vision, or something blocking it. But I hear lay your head on that pillar, that P-I-L-L-A-R, lay your head in P-I-L-L-A-R. Because go read Genesis 28:18. Jacob took a stone and he had placed it up under his head and set it as a P-I-L-L-A-R. And he poured oil on top of it. So when I seen that, I seen your head like laying down, and when he did that, he fell asleep, but he also had a vision. He also had a vision. Yeah, he had a vision, heaven opened up, where angel was coming down and going up.
And going up.
So, Father God, I don't know if you used to have vision, or did you used to have vision and dreams?
I did, all the time.
Okay. And there's something hindering or blocking it.
Yes.
You ain't been having it lame. Okay. So, Father God, okay. Do you have a secret place in your house that you can get in and just shut yourself up?
I do.
Okay. Well, get in that secret place and lay down. You could get a pillow. You know, get a pillow. Now, I'm saying pillow. That if you got to go buy a pillow and brand new pillow, but don't let nobody lay on it. You lay your head down on it and get in that secret place, and God going to come against anything that's been hitting your eyesight, anything that's blocking your eyesight. Father God, open thy eyes to thy heart. Let her have a relationship with you again. And Father God, I just need repentance. If there's something in her heart that's hindering her from hearing you and seeing you, anything that's blocking her dream catcher, dream snatcher, whatever she needs to repent and renounce, I just speak that she will repent and renounce. But as she begins to get in that secret place, let the vision open back up for her dream. You know, like Jacob, he set it up as a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R. Begin to read Genesis 28:18. Begin to read when he laid it up. Right. Read that verse. You might want to read the whole Bible verse. And he began to have, even when you look at pictures, because they got inch, when you begin to look at a picture, it looked like you laying on a pillow.
Wow.
And he went into a vision.
Mm.
He went into a vision. So, Father God, let that be. Let that be in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And you know, bring your pen and paper in there.
Okay.
Wow. That is something else.
That is something else.
I don't know you. What draws you away from you've been pulled away? I don't know if there's something that happened in your life, but let it go. Let it go and let God come back to your first love. Just like you met him the first time. Come back to your first love and everything going to start lining up for you.
Okay. Okay. I can do that.
Come back to your first love. Start seeking him and talking. Just like I'm talking to you, just talk to him. He already knows. Just let it out. Just release it to him. Release everyone that, you know, came against you, hurt you. Release them.
Right.
There are some things that can be in our heart that can hold us from really hearing from God.
Right. I had my husband died in 2017.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And it was a brutal, brutal blow. And
mm-hmm.
what's worse is that his family, they just accused me while he was alive. He had to sever some relationships, and he was going to keep them severed. But because I knew that things weren't going so well with his health, I brought them back in, and he got a little upset with me, but they accused me of abusing him while he was sick, and they went around and they said really horrible things, and they're still doing it. His death date was July 2nd. And my mom just died in April, and I have I've got realtors, I've got lawyers, I was helping my friend clean his mom's house, and I was just so busy, and I forgot that the date was July 2nd, and I've been accused of, just forgetting him, that he, you know, forgetting his death date and all this stuff, and they've gone around. I just recently found out about this, that his sisters have had a lot to say about me forgetting the day that he died. I didn't forget the day that he died. I just forget it. I forgot that it was that day. And so I've heard from people about all the things that they said I abused him and did all kinds of stuff, and I didn't do it. And you know, then I don't know. It might be that because I do have
mm-hmm.
I forgive them because I know that's a choice I have to make. Not a warm fuzzy feeling in my heart. I will never feel warm and fuzzy But I do forgive them and I love them. I don't want anything bad to happen to anyone who hurts me. Never. I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody. And because I love people, but I probably am holding on to a little bit, especially because it's like a fresh wound, a really fresh wound, you know, because I love him so much. I do. I love him. I'm still in love with him. I kiss his picture. I kiss his brush and pretend it's his mustache, and I spray his cologne, and I just really, really, he was the love of my life that God gave me. The day that I laid my eyes on him, this is no lie, the Lord, I said, God, who in the world is that? Because he's the most beautiful man. He's beautiful, really beautiful. And I asked the Lord, really, I did. I promise I'm telling the truth. I said, excuse me, but who is that right there? And so help me, I promise I'm telling the truth. The Lord told me, he said, Vicki, that's the one I made especially for you to love.
Oh.
And the rest of your life with him. He did. Oh. And and at the time I was gargantuan. He had no reason to be attracted to me at all. None, none. Because, you know, most men like those little skinny bikini bodies, you know. And I didn't have one of those. I'll tell you that right now. I still don't. But he fell in love with me in spite of, and I married him just like God said. And he's the most, he never yelled at me in 25 years of knowing him.
Wow.
He never yelled at me, never. And he was so sweet and good. Great big burly man too, big beautiful man. He was just beautiful. So it's really hard to have his family, they're like, they not only do they abandon me, but a lot of them talk about me and say the most awful things. So, and it hurts, you know. And that probably is one of the main things that maybe has hindered, you know. And I'll be honest with you, I have a friend. And I think that's been the biggest hindrance. He is a believer, but he's almost like he believes in great big God, King of the universe, who had a son named Jesus. But it's not great big God, King of the universe, who wants to talk to little bitty me. And it's not great big God, King of the universe, who had a son, Jesus, who wants to talk to me. You know, He has accepted, and but he just doesn't get what I get, what you get, what I get. And it's been a hindrance in my life, big, major hindrance, because he doesn't walk the way I walk. And I found myself walking the way he walks. And when I do things that I know are against God and his word, and I know I've hurt him, I can barely lift my head. I'm so ashamed when I do things I know I'm not supposed to. And I can't lie. I did things I know I'm not supposed to. Now, not many times. I fell. Really fell. And really did a number on my walk with him. And I'm probably not supposed to admit all this stuff on the telephone where everybody can hear it, but I really don't care, because if God knows, I don't care if anybody else does.
Right.
And, you know, and that is probably a big hindrance too, but I have repented. I have, girl. I ain't lying. Because I'm like, oh my God, please forgive me, you know. So just a whole bunch. But I'm gonna do what you said, what God told you to tell me to do, and I'm buying that pillow tomorrow, and I'm putting it in that room.
Amen.
And to help me, God, I'll go get anointing oil, I go buy some tomorrow, and I will put it on that pillow, and I will do what you said. I will. I promise you I will.
Amen. And I just ask God for you to walk, that you're walking in obedience. He's going to come in there and love on you. He's going to come in there and wrap you in his arm. I just speak, Father God, meet her in that room. Meet her in that room because of her obedience. Wipe away all the tears. You know, even in the book of Rome, Paul saying, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And while you were talking, I was hearing that. And for he said, and even in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, and nor things to come, it cannot separate you from the love of Christ. That's how much Christ loves us. Nothing can separate you, my daughter, with nothing will separate you from the love that I have for you. My hand is out for you. Reach out and grab my hand, because nothing can separate you from the love that he has for you. And those words that they coming against you, we just speak, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you should condemn it. You start speaking life and life abundantly over your own self. You get yourself up and encourage your own self. You not what they say you are, and you're not going to receive it in your heart. You're not going to receive it in your mind. That every stronghold, we begin to pull it down, cast it out. Because God said, for the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but is mighty through him, by pulling down these strongholds. These strongholds that they want to get in your mind that it's your fault. No, it's not your fault. Just remember the good. My God, I feel the Holy Spirit on me. Just remember when God presented this man as your husband, he said it was good. And that is what it is. You stand on that. Don't you, just like the word in Deuteronomy just said, don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Don't look to these negative curse words they are saying over you. Keep your eyes on to me, because look to the hill which come your help. Your help come from me. And not me, not LaShawn, the Lord, I'm saying. He's going to pull you out of it. No more you're going to be bind up if you just believe. Get in that secret place and stay there. If you stay there and say, Lord, I'm going to stay. It's time that I fell asleep in the closet. You better, it's time that I lay my God about the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God, there's time that where I had to get on my flow, and I fell asleep on the flow because I was just worshiping. But all of a sudden, I went to sleep, and, you know, I say, Lord, I didn't expect for me to go to sleep on this hard flow, but then too, this came to me. Jesus laid on a hard flow. Jacob laid on a hard ground. So I say, Lord, it hurt my back, but if your son Jesus can do it, I can do it too. If I got to lay down here, I'm going to lay down on this hard flow. Get in that closet and lay down on that hard flow. God's going to visit you in that secret place. That's the secret place that you're going to receive your healing. That's the secret place that you're going to receive your deliverance. And Father God, I ask you to purge her, wash her, and deliver her in the name of Jesus. Let this season be her purging. Purge her on the inside of these deep wounds. Oh, purge her on the inside from herself. There's no guilt and shame, no condemnation when it comes down to Christ. So Father God, strip her. Strip her right now in the name of Jesus. That she will walk. My God, I don't know what that was. That she will walk. That she will know that she's fearless and wonderful man. That she's your daughter. And you're going to see her through in the name of Jesus. And I thank you. I thank you. But you said, I didn't mean to come on here and pour this out in front of everybody. But when the book of James 5:16 tell us, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. We not only to judge no one, you're confessing your sin, and when you confess your sin to one another, we supposed to be here to pray for you so you can receive your healing, because we know the affection fervent, I'm getting tired of prayers of the righteous is going to avail it much. Those who have clean hands and pure heart, the prayers, there are some people God answer prayers real quick, like life. I'm telling you, I ain't seen it. He answered real quick. So you confessing yourself when someone God can trust, and we are praying, and sometimes God will turn that thing around so quick it will turn your head. I've seen it happen before. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it too. I have.
America standards say, confess therefore your sin one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The suffocation of a righteous man availeth much in its work. So don't be ashamed. You're crying out for help, and God gonna honor you. You said, I mess up. We all fall short of glory. God don't have a respect of a person. But the thing is, you know, God pick you up. He wants you to stay there. Don't go back. Yeah, we get long, and I break that loneliness out for you. You know, hungry for the love of Christ. Give her a new taste in her mouth. God's gonna he's gonna bless you again. Trust him to stay in the will of God. Just stay in His will.
I will.
You stay in the will of God, and when that thing come up on you, God, just like you knew your first husband, and God spoke to you, he's speaking to you about the person. Shut the door. If it ain't of God, shut the door. Break that ungodly soul tie. Let every door be shut and that's not of God in your life.
Yes, Lord.
God's going to take care of you. Trust that.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
amen.
Lord. Amen. Lord, if she wasn't in there asleep, I would be jumping in this room.
You're going to have time to jump. You're going to be jumping. So keep loving on him. Keep loving on him. God has opened his heart. He's opened his heart. Receive it. Look, God's going to show you. Jesus is going to show you his heart so he can show you the same love of Christ going to live in you so he can purge and deliver everything that's in your heart to set you free from something that's hindering you, that's blocking you, that's distracting you. So let him have his way with you.
Okay, I will.
Amen.
I will,
we
Lord,
thank
I will.
You.
Yes.
Well, we love. We know we God is love, and we love you. And just hold on to the love of Christ. He ain't going to leave you, and he's not going to let you down. Don't give up. Just keep holding on.
Okay.
Amen.
Do you have time for me to ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Or do you need to go?
No,
well,
go ahead.
I don't want to. Okay. The fella that I met he's a wonderful man. And I'm his friend. We were friends. And I'm the only woman, actually, that he's ever had a real relationship with. Usually the women. And he's dated many, many, many women. And they start out sex. And then they never did develop a relationship. With me, everything's been different. And I love him. He's my friend. and I love him a lot. I do love him. I don't love him like I did my husband, but I see the wounded little boy in him, and I don't like throwing anybody away. I don't like kicking them to the curb. I don't like throwing them away. When I'm somebody's friend, I'm loyal to the end. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. He and I had become more than friends. We had become boyfriend, girlfriend type of thing, which I didn't want to be. Did not. I'm not interested in marriage. I'm not interested in none of the stuff that comes with marriage. I've already had the best husband anybody could ever have. And so I don't know what to do. We broke up last night. We broke up last night. And I don't know what to do with him, because I told him that even if we did break up, that I would always be his best friend. So I don't know really what I should do. And I'm confused. And I hate being confused. I don't know what to do with him. I don't know if I'm supposed to. I don't know. And I was just wondering, and you may not be able to help me, but I really honestly don't know what to do with him. I don't know if I should. I don't know what to do. I know I'm sounding like a babbling idiot right now, but I really am confused. And
well,
I don't,
you know,
I'm truly.
Right. You know, our Father is not an author of confusion. So I just ask God to give you that peace. Even when you get in that secret place, these questions that you ask him, that he's going to reveal it to you. He will reveal it to you. And just like you just said, go to him. Just like you said, you know, when it comes down to relationship, if I don't hear nothing, I ain't going to say nothing. So,
sometimes,
God been a spoke to us, but he have spoken and we just overlooked it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And see, I tell people, know how to pray. A lot of people, when I tell people the way, they like, wow, we ain't never heard that. That too many women don't pray that. Lord, this person ain't part of your plan. Shut it down. Remove that person. If this person ain't part of your plan and part of your will for my life and they is in the way of distraction, remove them. Remove them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't care who they is. If this
That's
not
right.
part of your plan and your will and they just a distraction, remove them.
Amen.
You know, am I on assignment with them? Is my assignment over? What is your will? Anybody in what is the adversary will? Is this something the adversary bought, the enemy bought? You know, and when you vulnerable and you're weak and you broken, that's when he really plays with your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of coming with the healing and deliverance. So you have to go to God and say, well, what is this? Is this plan, if this is part of your plan, part of your will, I move myself out the way. What are you saying about him?
Right.
Forgive me if I walked in any type of disobedience. I repent. I'm here. You know, reveal it to me. He might not reveal it right then and there, but keep going into that closet. He's going to reveal it. Trust me.
Okay.
I tell you, I'm going to use this for example. Anytime somebody prophesies and they prophesying about marriage over you and it came from, I'm talking about from God, well, you know, the adversary is around. He's like online trying to, you know, he listening to it. So what he's going to bring the pretender and bring someone to distract you to pretend this is who they talking about. That's the reason why we got to have a relationship with God in the spirit of discernment, to discern. I can tell you some crazy stuff some men have said, and I'm like, well, Lord, is that what you're saying? what spirit they operating in. And he would say, right. No, that ain't your husband. And I don't care what that's the man say and who done prophesied to them. If God say that ain't your husband, that's just what it is. And you keep hearing that ain't your husband.
That's right.
Come on now.
He was just a girl. That's right. I'm telling you.
He will tell you that ain't. You remember, what have you petitioned to God? If you go to God, oh Lord, he know what you've been through. Now, listen to this, and I'm going to say this real quick. If God and gave you a good, decent man that he has sent, and this, now, some ain't right, and this is the total opposite, he ain't in his word, he don't even, he know God is real, Jesus real, but he's not sold out for him, and it's something you just got to know. You got to know.
Right.
So he's going to reveal it to you. He's going to reveal it. You got to be careful. You got to be careful out there.
I'm telling you. Amen. You are right.
So God will have any woman or any man on her. Listen, God would take the desire. If you had any desire that's not of him, I'm going to say this. God will take that desire out your heart. You won't be desiring Amen. That anymore. He removed it.
Amen. Okay.
So there you go.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate
and
you,
welcome.
Lord. Bless this woman. Mm-hmm. Bless
oh,
this woman,
you.
Lord. Bless
thank
this
you.
Woman. And help her, Lord, to be bolder than she even is, Lord God. Thank you that she speaks the truth. Thank you that she follows the truth, the way, and the life. Lord, pour
Amen.
Out a blessing on her head that she can't contain.
Oh, yes.
Anoint that beautiful head with oil, Lord.
Amen.
Prepare a feast before her, Lord, in the presence
oh,
of her enemies,
yes.
Lord.
Wow.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless the work of her hands and the path that her feet walk on. Lord, everywhere she goes, use her. Light her up, Lord, greater light. In this dark, dark place, Lord God, use her everywhere she goes to speak your name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, bless her, Lord, and
Amen.
Lead her, guide her, and show her greater things than she's ever known before. And I can't wait to see what that is. Lord, have mercy. So, and I just appreciate you so much, and I'm so glad I called, and I really am. And for all the people out there listening, I'm so sorry I took so long. But anyway, and you have a wonderful evening, okay?
You have
and
a
thank
blessed
you so
evening.
Much.
Thank you, and thank
okay.
you for the prayer. God bless you.
Yeah. God
Amen.
Bless you, and I love you. I'll see you in heaven
oh,
if I don't
oh.
see you before.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, right. darling. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, 470-433. This is Sister LaShawn. Mess who's calling. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Sister LaShawn. My name is Sabrina, and I'm calling from Illinois. How are you doing today, ma'am?
I'm doing great, Sabrina. Oh, you're calling from Illinois.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. It's good to have you on.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in on Friday night. Well, do you have a special prayer request?
I do, Ms. LaShawn. I'm getting ready to start radiation in about a week. I'm asking mm-hmm. for prayer for that. My godmother's in the hospital with the virus, and I'm asking God to continue to show forth to some mighty acts. She is improving. I got a lot of prayer words praying for her, and I would like to have prayer for my husband, please.
Okay, sure. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your daughter, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that I'm just asking that she will continue to hold on to that faith, even though the road may be tough, Father God, but you're right there with her, Father God. We command the angel be with her, even when she go through the radiation. But, Father God, we said that you reversed everything that doctor thought they seen. Father God, that whatever treatment they said, say she got to go 8 weeks, we just command that treatment to be dismissed. I'm speaking on God on faith to speak that she won't even have that many treatments. That's that treatment, that it was strength. We believe in, Father God, in miracles. We believe in your word. We're going to stand on your word. That whatever is going on with her body, every cancer cell, I command you to dry up right now in the name of Jesus. If there's anything in her, Father God, we break the power of fear. We speak fear to come out for her, Father God, being afraid of anything that she's afraid of. Panic, causing her panic. We come against the spirit of destruction that brings these infirmities in the name of Jesus. Oh, my kisikido rika, my kisikido rika man. Oko sikido kisikido rika man.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Is you say your mama is in the hospital?
My godmother, ma'am.
Godmother. Your mother, yes, is she's around?
Yes, ma'am. My mom is 84 years old. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just heard a mama. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We break everything that the adversary is trying to come out of this family, every fiery door, Father God. Mm-hmm. Even teach your daughter how to war, how to pray. You're the great intercessor, Father God. Even put something deep down on the inside of her, Father God. Your anointing destroy every yoke. Mm-hmm. Anything that's not of you, Father God, I commit mm-hmm. it to come up and come out. My God, I feel this. How do you feel? Are you feeling nauseated? I feel a pulling in my stomach.
I feel nauseous every once in a while, and that's and that comes behind the chemo, because I had to do 17 weeks of chemo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just felt the nauseation come up on me, and I'm against that right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, there'll be no backlash. Father God, she would not have any sign effect. So what's going on with your stomach? Maybe that's what the nausea is coming in. What's going on with your stomach area?
Well, that's where the nausea is coming in. Every once in a while, it's like a sick feeling comes upon you, and it does last a while. And that's behind the chemo. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Father God, I pray over her stomach area. Because like your word said, out the belly should flow the rivers of living water. Even, Father God, I ask that you, I command the angel to be released around her right now into her home, Father God. I command the angel to be released around her right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, even stir up the water. Stir up the water, Father God. Touch the water that's coming out of her fountain. And when she even get in the bathtub, just like the angel came down and stir up the water, and the first person got in, they was healed. They was made whole. Oh, why, Father God, I just declare and decree it over her body. Stir up that water right now when she take a bath. Healing will begin to perform in her body. Every cancer cell that it would not spread to her body, we command every cancer cell, Father God, release your fire and burn it up right now in the name of Jesus. Just like you spoke to trees to dry up, we speak to cancer cells to dry up in the name of Jesus. We speak in this hour, when she goes to the doctor, there will be a good report. No more cancer, and it will not spread to her body. In the mighty name of Jesus, my God, I come against this nausea. I come against every attack that's coming from this chemotherapy. And Father God, I see beautiful action, that our hair will grow back, Father God. Beautiful in the name Jesus, we speak your beauty over your daughter in the name of Jesus. Father God, you tell us, your son tell us, ask anything in his name, and we are standing on your word, and we say no weapon formed against our heart No weapon formed against her kidney. No weapon formed against her lungs. No weapon formed against her brain. We cover her body up under the blood of Jesus. We command cancer to be bound down to the foot of Jesus. You bind down right now in the name of Jesus. We cover you with the blood of Jesus. You can withstand the name of Jesus. And we cover every cancer cell. We cover everything, virus infection that's going on with her mother-in-law, her godmother. We command that virus to come up and come out in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we ask the angel to go even into the hospital where she is, and we command that virus to loose her and let her go. Oh, Father God, loose her lungs, Father God. Let her lungs open up in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we ask that you breathe the breath of life into her lungs in the name of Jesus. Your breath, breathe upon her in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, in the name of
we thank
Jesus.
You, Father God, and we pray against, you know, her husband. Father God, whatever trying to buffer him and get him out the, you know, to shaking his faith and his belief, we shed it down in the name of Jesus. You know, we come against everything the adversary trying to come against his mind in the name of Jesus. We ask that you heal his mind and, Father God, help his belief. You know, help his belief in the name of Jesus. We, you know, everything, even I'm looking at the finance, you know, getting frustrated behind money, bills. Oh, Father God, I ask that you release. Give them a release in their finance. Give them a release in their household. Fill their basket up in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. What we're going through right now, Ms. LaShawn, my husband and I, we've been separated now going on.
You know what I was going to say? That's why I got quiet. Some things when I see I don't know to release, and I'm trying to see, should I, but that's what I heard. There's a separation, and there's someone in his ear, so we shed his ear out. But, Father God, we ask that you send the, do him just like you did Saul, Father God. Knock him off his high horse and bring him right back to the place with you. Let him be nailed to that cross with you, Christ, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we break this spirit of separation. We break the power of any covenant breaker that's trying to break up the marriage covenant with you, Father God. Oh, Father God, we ask that you send the angel to speak to him in this dark season in his life. Every lie spirit, Father God, we come against it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hold on for a sec. I'm gonna write your name down and I'm gonna pray for you in my time when I pray.
Yes,
and pray for your marriage and stuff. But I ask God to give you peace. Right now, God is going to give you through everything they're trying to get you distracted. We come against it.
Thank you, God.
You're not alone. You're not alone. And every time you go to chemotherapy, every time you be in your home, you're not alone. I just ask the presence of God to be with you at all times, to give you the peace, to give you the strength. I just speak and I declare that the strength of the Lord will come upon you, that it will strengthen your body, strengthen you from the inside out, and everything that's trying to distract you. Keep your eyes upon Christ in this season. I know it's hard to tell you this, but keep your eyes upon him. When you go into that place, this chemotherapy, you tell yourself, I ain't alone. You tell the angel, you come. You tell the Holy Spirit, you with me. You will never leave me and you will never forsake me. You start speaking things over yourself. I am healed. This is the season. I am healed. I am made whole. When I even drink this water that is healing my body and you command those cells to dry up, you speak and you walk in faith. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you, Lord, for never leaving me. Thank you, Lord, for my strength. Thank you, Father, for the joy. The joy will be my strength. Start thanking, because he says it's already there. And just like he said, he's going to make you the head, not the tail. You shall be the head and not the tail. His strength. Thank you for being my strong tower. Just start praising him. Get down and start worshiping and praising him. I'm telling you, watch and see what's going to happen.
Thank you, man. Thank you, God. 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 Thank you, God.
And Father God, I come against any backlash. You know, when the prayers go, the enemy want to come back and cause things that's not there. Remember, tell him you're a lie and you're going to get out of here and you're not going to touch my body.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
If you got a Bible, open your Bible, even when you go to sleep, and lay it up on you. And you know, I just ask Father God to give a wisdom of food to eat. Let the angel speak to her of food that she needs to eat and what she should not eat in this season.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Give your husband back to Christ and just move yourself. Just give to Christ and just leave him there.
Yes, ma'am.
Just leave him there. God sees it.
Yes, ma'am.
This is your son. This is your, even though he was my husband, God, he's your son.
Yes,
and here he goes.
Yeah.
I give him to you. I give him to you, and I trust you. You have your way with him. I pray that he line up with your will and that he walk in your obedience. I'm not going to pray him out of nothing, but I will pray him through it, that he will have the strength.
Yes.
Whatever you have for him in this season, that he will have the strength to endure it. But I get myself out the way so you can have your way.
Thank you, God. Yes, God. Thank you, God.
And just like you're saying, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing, even in my marriage.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes,
I thank
God.
You for what you're doing.
I thank you.
And
for
I'm
going to
celebrate you.
And I want to celebrate you, God.
Because I know your ways is not my ways, and your thoughts is not my thoughts. Because I know, you know, sometimes you got to let them run around like a wild.
Yes.
You got to let them run around like a wild thing or whatever they want to do.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
He's not going to put too much on you that you cannot handle.
Yes, ma'am.
You just give it to him and let him do what he needs to do.
Yes, ma'am.
And I come against the guilt making you feel bad. Making you feel bad. I break that off for you, and I come against that brokenness, that deep wound, that Jesus, that the Father will heal you from that deep wound. That he will clean you on the inside. Anything that's trying to come against the process of you receiving your healing, we break it up off for you. We break every ungodly soul tie. We cut every ungodly soul tie. We condemn every negative curse word, every death curse word that been spoken over you. We condemn it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against it. We take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. Every curse word that been spoken over your life, Father God, we ask that you forgive us for our sins. Forgive your daughter. If even she spoke any curse word, even over her marriage, even over herself, we repent, we renounce it, and we ask that you forgive her in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. It will not break her, but raise her up, but let her mount up like wings, like eagle, that she will soar over it. So we condemn every negative curse word. Every curse that's coming through that bloodline, We uproot it right now. Anything that's bringing this infirmity, that's bringing this destruction.
In the name of Jesus.
She will prosper in good health and her soul will prosper. We declare and decree it over her life right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
When you go to, every time you go to chemotherapy, Father God, give a Bible verse. Start reading and looking up Bible verse on healing. And you read it, you meditate on it, even you pull out your phone and you be reading it while you going to chemotherapy. Even when you leave chemotherapy, you're in the bath to wash and drink a lot of water. Drink a lot of water.
I have been drinking a lot of water, Ms. Michelle.
Right.
I have. I've been doing that, and I've been taking communion every day since last year in July. Since last year in July. But I have been doing that, ma'am. Thank you, Lord.
And you might want to stay away from meat right now and do fruits and vegetables, peaches.
Okay.
I heard peaches good for, you know, to kill cancer cells. Cabbage, cauliflower, stuff that do something that your body, sometimes you got to go back and eat earthly things in order to heal you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So, Father God, give her wisdom to do that.
Thank you, God.
We speak the wisdom. Let the angel whisper in her ear what she should eat.
Thank you, Lord.
To help her with this healing process.
Thank you, Lord.
Cut away from that, you know, potatoes and meat and, you know, processed food.
Yes, ma'am.
And detox your body with fruits and vegetables.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
And, you know, tell Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk and I'm going to eat the stuff that you set our body up to eat. So I'm going to meet you halfway. Help me, Lord, with this. This is what I'm going to do. And forgive me, Lord. For anything that caused any, if I walked in any, you know, just start repent and ask him to forgive you. You don't want nothing to hinder the prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, us as PGN, we here with you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
To pray for you. And I ask God to put you around more women of God. You know, you already have them.
Ma'am.
So prayers has already went up. You keep your faith and believe.
Yes,
and you stay.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything else?
No, ma'am. That's it. Just that when all this is over with, I'm asking God to show me where I need to move, because I know a move is coming up. And I just want to move to the right place, Ms. LaShawn.
Okay.
I just want to move to the right place.
And Father, let it be done. Let it be done. You move her feet. You take over. Let your word be a lamp unto her feet to lighten up her pathway. You put her feet. Where can you use her? Let this be her testimony to speak in other people like they're going through the same thing she's going through. So you move her in the location you want her to be at in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And keep worshiping him because he's worthy. And just sometimes you just lay at the feet and say, Lord, I'm here. And I'm going to lay here. I'm going to lay here. I want your presence. I want the Holy Spirit. I want your anointing to come upon me. I want your glory. I want the glory of God. Because I know the glory of God come into my face. Can't no sickness, infirmity come in here. It got to leave. It got to leave. It got to leave. You be bold with it and you speak. I'm eating your word. I'm breaking bread with you. I'm in your word. So it got to leave my body. You got to leave my body. It, my body, my temple belongs to you. You got to get up out of here.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ms. LaShawn, could we touch and agree on my, I have a disability case, and I filed several times, and I'm believing God that this last time is the last time that I will be rewarded.
Amen. I was just talking to somebody about that. They'll deny you. But Father God, you know what your daughter needs. You know,
you,
when she lined up with your will and your obedience, Father God, let this case in and let her be rewarded. You know what she needs. You know the right time. Sometimes you will held it up. You will hold it up for the right time. So, Father God, this your right time. Let it be released. Anything that's trying to hinder it, Father God, I even ask you to send the angels in there. Let the angels stand for proof on it. Let the angels do what it need to do. Let it be released, Father. Let it be released. You know when it needs to be released, so we ask that it be released. Greater rewards is with you. The greater rewards was with you. So we, whatever you are going to give to your daughter in this season, let it be released in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Ms. LaShawn. And I'm gonna call you back with a praise report, okay?
Amen. Expect. Walk in expectation.
Yes,
and another thing, you know, Father God, we got the DNA on you. So let your DNA flow into a body. But see, I heard, because there's so many people that I'm hearing that's getting sick with stuff. But I heard that God is doing some new transformation with people's body. Sometimes he got to let things go in your body. But when you get healed, I didn't see it. When people get their healing and deliverance, I know somebody, and I wish there's somebody on her that seen this person. We did a live Zoom. She looked 10 years younger than she was 6 months ago because she got cancer all over her body. But when the person seen said, is that her? She looked younger because she received her healing and delivery. Even though the doctor said you got cancer in your body, but sometimes God be doing something on the inside. And when God begins to do something on the inside, it's going to show on the outside because he's healing you from some stuff that to heal you from. That's the transformation. Oh, God doing some transformation. And when he gets this stuff that's been in your heart, the brokenness, the trauma that you've been dealing with as a little child, he gets that out your heart, then your healing gonna come forward. And some people can be wrecking with sickness, but on the inside he's doing some new stuff. He's the X-rated. He's the one taking a picture of your real heart. And when he begins to transform you and do transformation on the inside, it's gonna start showing on the outside. And when you start glowing with his glory and his mercy, can't no cancer, can't no sickness of inferno were able to stay in the body. God better listen. I'm telling you, he's doing some transformation. He's doing some transformation. That's why you see people with cancer all over their body, but they look like they've been in God's presence because he's doing something on the inside. He got to allow you to go through this so you can be his testimony, so you can go out there and you can speak. Anytime you're going through something for a feeling, 9 out of 10, you're going to meet somebody that's dealing with the same thing you're dealing with because that's your calling. You are going to be called to the healing and delivering ministry. So he can use you.
Thank you, Lord.
I seen debt hold my daddy down. I'm telling you, I seen debt holding him down through prayer, through the anointing, through his God power. Even though they were still saying he was dealing with some sickness, but I seen the glory of God hit him. He was dark because he was going through say that. He was going through that, and it was dark. His body was so dark, like he was a black spot. I tell you what, when God was transmitting, because he was stubborn, he was mean. When God was working on him in the eye, in the inside, he bright. His skin color came bright. He was up. He was so bright. I'm telling you what I know that he and the God would do. That's what God do when God's working on people when they receiving the healing on the inside. even though the doctor say you got kidney failure, even though the doctor say you got this, but he's healing you on the inside.
Thank you, Lord.
He's delivering purging you.
Amen. Thank you so much, LaShawn. Mr. Sean,
thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Just give him to God. Give him to God and trust him. Keep your eyes. This God wants you to rest. He's working on you, and let him work on your husband.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. We love you, and thank you for calling in.
I love you too, Ms. LaShawn. You have a good evening, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. Okay. 334-478. This is Sister LaShawn. Mass, who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Sister LaShawn. How are you? My name is Cindy. That's good. I'm glad to hear you. It's my first time calling in and getting you, so I've been listening, and it's just such a blessing. My name is Cindy Lorvanis, and I'm calling from Phoenix City, Alabama.
Oh, Phoenix City, Alabama. Cindy. Well, thank you for calling in on Friday.
Thank you. Praise
thank
God.
You. God bless you. God bless you. Is there a special prayer request you have?
Yes, ma'am. I'm asking God for vindication and recompense. I'm living in a housing authority here, and my kids and I, we have been getting sick off and on, headaches, skin rashes, nauseating feeling. I've been in contact with the people who own the property, and the maintenance people had them to come in and check for mold, and for a long time, they were just passing it off as just dust, and the Lord, he just really did something so mighty. He allowed me to get in contact with this company, and a gentleman came out with his crew, and they tested, and sure enough, there is mold in my apartment. The AC unit is it has mold right now, and so every time the AC is on, there's mold going through every vent in the apartment. And so my kids and I have been breathing this in, and I just want God to continue to guide me through this process, to see this through, because they just, you know, when the man said it was, in fact, mold, I just felt relieved. My daughter said I was shaking, but I didn't even realize that I was shaking. I was just telling God, I thank you that I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I've been telling people that there was something going on, and then it's like, Oh well, there's mold, okay, you know, and I just want justice, not just for my kids and myself, but for anybody that is probably going through something like this and don't know that it's mold, or don't have a voice to speak up for themselves or anything like that. I just want wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to see this through, and I want God to vindicate me and recompense me, because we don't have any furniture in my apartment. I had to give stuff out. Some stuff I had to throw away. Other stuff I had to give away, because we were trying to determine, like, was it mold in the baseboards? Was it the sheetrock? Was it, you know, the type of flooring that we had? We were just trying to figure everything out, but we knew it was getting worse while the furniture was here. And so we since gave it out. We can breathe. It's not as stuffy. It's not trapped air like it was, but it's still mold, you know, in the vents, you know. And so I'm just asking God to just give me strength in my body and my kids. They just started back school this week. They have major testing next week. And it's just been a lot. I'm exhausted. They're tired. You know, I've just been feeling real heavy in my body. I don't know if it's because of what's going on or just the major cleaning that we had to do to just get everything out. You know, I'm not sure. I'm just, and I ask for healing too, for me and my children, protection and healing for my children and I, Ms. LaShawn.
Okay, Father God, we come together, and anybody on the spirit that can that's praying. We're going to come against this attack that's on this family. Father God, those are your children. Those children got a calling on their life. And everything that the adversary is trying to come against their destiny and purpose, oh, Father God, we speak that it would not be so. Because, Father God, we speak Jeremiah 29:11 over them. And, Father God, even over your daughter, Sydney, we speak Psalms 27:1, that the Lord is her life and her salvation. We speak that she would not fear, but she would fret not either. And, Father God, that you are her strength of her life. And, Father God, that she will stand firm. Father God, even let the angel, I command the angel to move through her, and breathe fresh breath. My God, breathe fresh breath. Breathe your breath. Let the wind of your breath go through that place right now. Not just in her apartment, but let it go through that whole apartment complex. Oh, Father God, clean up everything that's in the dust. Clean up everything that's in the airway, in the vent, in the air condition. Oh, Father God, breathe your fresh breath. Let them breathe fresh breath. They shall breathe fresh breath tonight. Oh, Father God, we ask the angel to be in that place, to a cleansing to that place in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, purify their blood. Anything they got in their bloodstream, we command it to come up and come out right now in the name of Jesus. They got the DNA of you, Father God. Purify their blood. They got the blood of Jesus, and that's what we're going to stand on, the blood of Jesus in the inside, on the outside. Even, Father God, we plied the blood of Jesus over our doorposts. Let the blood of Jesus be in their home in the name of Jesus. When you first started talking, I was hearing move, move. That's what I was hearing, move. So I don't know if he's going to move you. You're going to move into another place, but I heard move. You're not going to be there. You're going to move. I don't know if you've been looking. Have you got in, I don't know anything about housing, that there's something that you could see. When they, that's a health department issue. That you know how to get in contact with someone at the health department to report them, because I just hear move. I hear move for you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Father God, and I just go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ms. LaShawn. I've been trying to move back to Florida. Living here in Phoenix City, it was such a blessing when we came about 3 years ago, but everything is drying up because it's about time for us to move. You know, the bus system here, it's hard for me to get a job. The buses, they only run Monday through Friday, except on major holidays, and they only run from 8 to 3. So I've been homeschooling my kids. Because the best thing for me to be able to do right now with what's going on and not having a car and not being able to have reliable transportation. But I've been wanting to move back to Florida. My dad is there. He's 88, you know, years old. And I just been trying to get closer to him because he lives by himself. And, you know, he's the only parent that I have. My mom died about 10 years ago from a heart attack. And so my dad, he's been going through some things in his health. So it's just been really hard trying to make it here. And so that's probably why he was here and move. But mm-hmm. I was just trying to do everything God's timing because, like I said, I have not worked in about like a year and a half. And so, you know, it's just been really hard. It's just been really hard being a single mom, you know, to raise my kids the best way I can to provide for them. So that's probably why you heard move, because I know God is going to do something, but I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting on God. You know, we don't have the finances yet. We don't have a car. I don't have yet a location of where, but I know God has put in my spirit that that's what he's going to do. So I'm just waiting.
And another thing I heard, everything you lost, everything you thought you lost, God going to restore it. I see people bringing your kids stuff. Your story is going to be told. I see people bringing blessings in your kids. I seen things being restored in your life. That I literally seen people bringing stuff, clothes and stuff for your kids. And everything that you thought you lost, God's going to bless you and put people to bless you, to bring stuff for your kids. I don't know if this going to be through the school or whatever this going to be, but somebody going to hear your story and they're going to bless you. And your kids going to get... I literally see people bringing you clothes and furniture and stuff. Let me tell you, God is for the righteous. God hear your cry. He hear your cry. And he's going to answer you. He hear your cry. And he hear your prayer. And God love those babies. He love your babies. You're going to be moving. So start preparing yourself to move. But, you know, he see how faithful you were. And, you know, and God's going to take care of it. God, move the hands of those people. Everything that's crooked, those crooked places. I ask that you release the angels in those crooked places to make every crooked place straight. Father God, even move the hands of these people that know they do wicked things. And we were talking about, I was just talking about that. That like the apartments, even where I live, they are so old, but they don't want to fix, and things are collapsing and breaking in. And one of my prayers say, Lord, move them out the way, you know, go in there and, you know, you take over. You take over. They charge them. Everything is going up, but they don't want to fix anything. And even in the book, I can't remember where it's at. He talks about that. About how you treat the poor, how you treat them, and how you charge them for things. So I'm asking God to move on places like that, clean up. And God, you know, he's going to work for the righteous. This thing, he's going to restore everything that the locust, the chankerun, the locust, the caterpillar, God's going to restore. He's going to restore it. He's going to restore it.
Someone asked me, they said, do you want to move to another apartment? And I said, no, because the mold came from, they take the filter out, they bring it down to the office, they put it outside, they hose it down, then they spray something on it, and then they let it dry and come and bring, put it back in the apartment. So I'm like, I don't want to move to another apartment that they have here on property, because I've seen how they clean the filter. So I will go from one place that got mold to another place that got a worse case of mold. You know, and the gentleman that did the test, he said just by looking at it, he said, you look like you got three different types of mold. So I'm like, I don't want to be on anything on the property. And then about 2 or 3 years ago when I first moved here from Florida, the Lord had me pack up. It's just me, my two kids, and 6 bags of clothes. And he said, you know, basically I'm going to reestablish you. You know, you're going to be like Joshua and scour the land, and I'm going to get you back on your feet. And so we moved into an apartment. And when I tell you it was so deplorable, it didn't even make sense. These apartments, they've been here since World War II. They're out of cold. And all this mold broke out in the apartment. I still have the pictures. All this mold everywhere. Me and my sister, you know, Sabrina, who you just prayed for, we was like, it felt like we was in a Western. We had spray bottles with trying to spray it down with vinegar and bleach and water, not knowing the bleach only aggravates the mold. It makes it come back worse. We didn't know. We was trying to figure out. We just sprayed this mold down. Why is it back? And by the next week, we had no idea what we were doing. We were complaining. We were telling them, oh, we don't see anything. Oh, it's nothing. Oh, you know, just got to keep the temperature right. You know, everything is just downplayed. And I said, God, I don't know why me and my children are going through this again. I said, but if it's for us to speak up to help somebody else who's going through this, for them to know, okay, you have a voice you can speak up to, and this is how you fight, then so be it. But I said, God, I can't go down like this again. I can't. This is not fair. It's not fair. You know, right now, the housing authority pays for our rent, but I'm like, okay, so because you pay for our rent does not mean you can treat me any kind of way. You can't treat my kids any kind of way. You know, y'all may not care none about me, but we mean something to God. And I just ask God
Amen.
To dedicate us. And
Amen.
To show life. Because I'm like, somebody is in their apartment getting sick and don't know why. Somebody is going through something in their apartment and don't know that it's mold in the apartment. And these apartments, they're only almost 3 years old. Why are you taking the cheap route of taking the vent out, the filter out, hosing it down, spraying it down, and putting it back in there? What if you're not even marking it right with the right apartment and putting the wrong filter that was in building 2B? You put it in C2, you know? So it's like, I mean, I don't understand these shortcuts have to stop because they're playing with people's lives. I should not have to go through a pandemic outside and then face another pandemic inside. That's crazy. That's crazy. And so I'm just asking God, like, just please strengthen me, you know, strengthen me, because I know I'm dealing with some people who probably got lots of money and don't care nothing about me. But it's not even about that. It's the fact that this has been going on for too long. You have money, but you're pinching pennies. You have money to do the property correctly. You have money to get brand new filters, but you want to keep using the old ones, cutting corners. You don't fix the property up. You don't do anything. The breezeways look like, it got so much debris in there. Mr. Sean, I'm just waiting for tumbleweed to come out of nowhere. It just looks so bad how the property has gone down. It's only 3 years old. And it's like, why do this? You know, why do this to people? Why build housing like this and don't care about the life that you invited to stay on this property? I just don't understand that. It's not fair.
Have you got any contact with cold coding, cold force? What is it? The name? They will come out. Now they don't play. They'll come out.
No, man. I have not yet. I was trying to allow them to see what they were going to do because I told the manager and she got her in the maintenance guy. So I said, God, okay, I'm trying to go through the chain of command, but I'm building the case as well. I told God, I'm going to go ahead and have them do what they're going to do, but I'm going to build a case. I took pictures, my daughter and I, we have about 255 pictures that we have taken. And then the gentleman that came out, he did an air quality test. That's how we were able to find out for sure there was mold in the AC unit. We're waiting for the testing to come back, and then I'm moving forward. And then I'm moving forward once I have all the documentation about what kind of mold it is and all that other stuff. Because we have been having symptoms. So this is why I was asking to pray for, because I'm like, God, am I doing the right thing? You know, I don't want to get ahead of God. I don't want to get too emotional and just be doing and just moving ahead of God and not even hearing God. So I'm like, God, please guide me in this process. You know, just guide us and protect us while we're going through this, because, you know, it came to us for a reason. I'm not asking God to take my cup away. I'm asking God to help me, how to teach me how to sip it while he's working.
And he's going to come in, because even in Malachi, I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake, for your sake. So, and God, you know, just give her the strength to endure this, that, and give her the reassurance. But I don't know if anybody been dealing with housing market that can give her information, if you can come on the line by pressing 1 to give her some advice of what she should do. But God is going to, he's going to direct you. He's going to direct your footsteps. He's going to tell you what to do. But I'm asking God to even step in into that office and take over, to take over, to remove those people. If they don't want to treat his people out, let them be removed. But God, you know, to intervene. And we call it, like you said, intervention now. An intervention, because even look, mold, they keep saying mold. You see mold, spray a little bleach on it, is not contagion. Even little mold in your apartment causes allergy. And anybody that's dealing with, it causes respiratory, it causes people that's dealing with asthma, any type of mold.
Yeah.
If it's not even bad mold, any mold. And they know this. So God is going to deal with them. He is. He's going to deal with them. They're not getting away because God, for he talk about even the people in the poor, you don't treat them wrong. He's talking about you take care of the poor, the less fortunate. And God going to honor you. He's going to honor you. And so God going to turn that situation around so quick. You just wait. He's going to turn it around so quick. When is your year up?
March of next year.
Okay. So when your year up, you can move anywhere, right?
Well, from my understanding, once I can establish for sure with documentation that I can take to court, I'll be able to leave up out of here because this is condition.
Conditions
are horrible. Yes, ma'am, they're unsafe. It's a hazard, so they can't uphold me to the to the lease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Father God, we just ask that you intervene real quick. Father God, like you said, we're going to pray and stand on your word that you will send the angel to make the crooked place straight. You see it all, and you see what they're doing. Father God, we ask that you send the right people. I can't remember if it's code enforcement. I don't know, but I know they with the city. If you report them, they're going to come out and do their investigation, and they're going to have they're going to have to get it right or they will be fined. So I just don't know what's the name. Cold force. I don't know. But they will come out.
Okay.
And they will. You report it to them. There is nothing. If you call 2, I'm pretty sure if you call 211, they'll tell you. You call 211, they tell you. I don't know if anybody on the line, they would know this information. They could come on and give you the information, what you need. But we are going to lift you and your children up in prayer. But I just see that everything that you lost, God is going to restore it. God is somebody going to hear your story, and they're going to, you're going to get, God going to bless you. You're going to get blessed. You're going to be blessed, and you and your kids going to have a real nice place to live. And that job, when you look for a job, go online. Don't look at your skills. Stop looking at your skills and apply for jobs. Apply for them. God's going to open a door, opportunity. Matter of fact, my God, thank you, Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you're going to have a home. There you go. You're going to have a home. And anybody on here know I don't do that type of process, but I just heard a home. It might not be next year. It might not. I don't know when he's going to do it. God going to bless you with a home, a nice home with your children. That's going to come to you. I can't tell you when, but it's coming. It's coming. And so when you do your application, don't worry, don't second guess yourself, don't limitate yourself. You apply for it. I'm talking about if you want to work at a hospital, if you want to be a teacher, apply for it. Watch how he's going to move for you. Just apply for it and don't worry about anything else. You present it to God And God, he's going to prove it. He's going to send those. I'm telling you, this is the type of faith I have. This is the type of faith. Y'all can call me whatever y'all want to call me. I believe God will send an angel in a car dealership. This is my belief, my faith. I believe God will send that angel in that car dealership and put that paperwork approved on the manager desk, and they'll be calling you and say everything went through the bank. Come pick up your keys for your brand new car. That's the type of faith I'm believing. That's the type of faith I'm believing. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. That he didn't already put, I mean, it's hard for people to believe this. We hear about it. God will give funding to things that you need. I'm talking about funding the treasure, the reward that only God got in heaven. And I'm just believing that he will send an angel to do that application, send a check. It might sound crazy to you, but that's what I'm believing in. That's what I'm telling God. I believe that's the type of miracles I want to see. That people are going to get phone calls. Even God going to put your name in people's dreams. Being, I'm talking about, we might not never seen a king or a queen before, but God's going to put your name, our name, I'm talking about the righteous people, the one that's faithful, the one that endured, had to go through something. He's going to even let them dream. When you see this woman in the grocery store, I need you to bless her with this amount of money. I need you to buy her some groceries. I need you. You're going to see this woman at a gas station. I need you to hand her over the keys to the car. I'm telling y'all. And I'm telling that now. Like I said, you can call me whatever you want to call me. But that's the type of belief I believe in America.
Amen. He can do it, Mr. Sean. Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. Is anything impossible for God? Let my car be released. God knows you need transportation. He knows you need a job. What job do you want me to be on? Where do you want me to go? Where do you need me to be at? Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to be? Where do you need me to be at? Where do you want me to move at? And God, I thank you for allow me to go through this, because you might need to use me in a kingdom of a jungle. So if I don't know how to deal with this in my house, how you going to use me in India? I might have to be used somewhere where I have to go, and it's busy everywhere, to go speak the gospel. Well, Lord, this part of my testimony that you going to use me, and you might going to use me to go into Brighton. Uh-oh, my God. You might use me. I might get a job. Listen, I might get a job being an inspection to go into these projects to inspect what's up in here to get it right. He might use you. You have to go through this. That might be your next job, inspector, to go into these low property places. Because you went through it and you know what's right and wrong. God might get put you in that job where you going into these places. Doing investigation. Y'all better understand how God allowed you to go through something and then turn around and use it for his good. It's going to work out for your good.
Amen. Yes.
You have to go through property. You got to go through a place that's so broke down and tore up, but he might turn it around, put you in a job because you know what you and your kids went through. He know that you know how to recognize it's mold up in this place. So when he sends you to that job, you going to do it right. Excuse me, y'all.
You're going to do it right.
Somebody better hear. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Y'all, my headphones. I got too excited.
Yes. No, it's okay. You're speaking the truth. I know I'm going to meet me one day. I know that. I know that. That's why I tell God, you're the God of the valley. You're the God of the mountaintop. You're the God of the desert. You know, you're the God of any situation. I don't tell God, take me out. I don't tell him, take me out. Teach me what I need to
know.
Teach me how to walk and talk, you know. And like you told my sister, teach me how to war in this season, because you can't go in a situation
you know, the same way you did the last time, you know, especially thinking that it's the same because it looks the same. It might not be the same situation, you know. So God is the best strategist. So I'm like, God, teach me. I don't know anything, you know. I sure don't know more than he does. So show me how to approach this. I don't want to back down. I don't want to run down. I'm not of the kind of coward back. You know, I'm not a jelly back person, you know. So I'm like, God, just tell me what I got to do. This is your show, you know. And
amen.
Tell me what I got to do. Tell me what I got to do. Don't take my cup. Tell me how to sip it slow. You know, or if I need to take a gulp, that's fine too, but I'm not passing it. This is something that God brought me to, and I know he's going to see me through. I just need wisdom.
And there you go.
You know.
That's how you move the hand of God. There's many times, even on my job, Lord, please, please, Lord, please, please, Lord, why I'm keep getting shut down on the job when I'm trying to get out this department. These people don't like me. Lord, they're giving me a hard time. They're trying to get rid of me. It was like a group of them coming against me. And they weren't coming against me. They was coming was with this side of me. And and I would beg, Lord, please move me. Please, Lord, move me. I apply for an application within the own company. They ain't hiring me. And then they bringing people on the outside, paying them more than what they paying me. Do you not see this, Lord? Please, Lord, please move me. Honey, like he said, he wasn't going to take that cup away from me because he said, you missing it. You on assignment. When your assignment up, that's when I'm going to remove you. If you can't deal with these people right here, you're not going to be ready for what I got in store for you ahead. I'm preparing you for ministry. I'm preparing you to be my mouthpiece. I need you to be quiet and let me fight the battle. And when God told me to be quiet and I would call into the office accusing me of stuff that I did not do and was supervising and doing, they were trying to put it on me. But the thing about it, he would give me dreams, letting me know that it was going to happen. He would give me dreams, letting me know this was about to happen. But, and I would say, Lord, please move me. One time, I promise y'all, one time, I got so fed up, I couldn't take it no more. I didn't go to work in 2 weeks because I'm like, I ain't going back to that place. And I called in PGN and Terrence and Tanisha. They was on, and they weren't taking calls. They were just going by the number. They picked up my number. The Holy Spirit spoke to Terrence and said, don't you quit. Don't you throw in the towel. If you do, all this stuff that God had been doing in your life will be for nothing. And I said, oh, my God. God wears like a 2X or a 1E cutches. When he, well, I said, oh, let me go back to work. If I would have quit and went back to work, God, he couldn't move. Because even though maybe a couple months or 6 months, that's when the pandemic happened, and I got laid out. Now I'm finna move you. Now you coming off that job because I wanna bless you while you coming out. You gonna get a service package. Now you gonna get service package. Everything got you for the everything for the line up. Do you not know when he said I'm gonna rebuke the devourer for your name's sake? He been taking care of me ever since then. I'm saying my daddy, my father been taking care of me. If I would have got out the will of God and did it my way, I wouldn't have, I'm telling you, I would have missed it. I would have missed it.
Yes, you would.
And then you got to be careful because I was telling people, I ain't going back. That's just too much. I ain't going back. And even people was offering me a job, come work for me. If I would have did, I'm telling you, I would have been out the will of God. I would have been out the will of God. I went back. I probably been trying to run around, trying to find a job it wasn't for me. That's why we got to wait on God. It ain't going to be easy. Sometimes he's going to make it uncomfortable, depending on your calling. It's going to be uncomfortable. Yeah. People going to get on your nerve. You going to go through some stuff. Nah, let me renounce that, take that back. I don't like saying that. not get on your nerve, but people going to be trying to get you to a place to get out the will of God. So, because we got to be careful with our words to get you out the will of God. So you stand on his word. You stand firm. You stand on the word of God. Stand on his word. Hello? What didn't happen? Because she, I think something, another number thing came up. Hello?
Hi, Mrs. Sean. I'm so sorry. The call dropped.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't know why PGN, they do me, when the call drop, your number still stay on here. Okay, so I see what they be saying. Okay, but you got to stand in the will because God going to bless you. In this place that I am, I understand what you're going through. See, God going to put somebody in your life. It's not a mistake that you call because not the same thing you going through, I was going through in this place. I have neighbors around me that smoke marijuana. I'm telling you, listen, y'all, the marijuana come through the vent. Oh, my God, my God. It would help my whole living room life. So smoke out. Smoke out. When you come in the dome, it'll be so strong. And I say, Lord, what is that they smoking? That cannot be no marijuana. Where it's coming through the vent and in this place so strong, I shouldn't have to leave my own place to go outside and try to earn this place out. And I say, I will call them people. Look, I don't even smoke. I don't drink. But they smoking over here and it's coming through the vent. So strong. So when you walk in the house, it's hitting you. It'll be so strong, like somebody was in here smoking. I went through her and closed every vent in the living room. So I'm in, and when I be in the living room, I'm burning up because I got every vent in the living room, in the kitchen closed to try to not let the smoke come through her. It got to the point I had to go knock on my neighbor door and say, "Listen. Are you smoking?" And of course they're going to lie. It's coming through the vent. When I walk outside my front door, it'd be so strong that it'd be in the hallway. I can't sit on my patio because it's so strong. It's coming from the back. coming from the back. I say, Lord, either you're going to move me. Either you're going to move me or you're going to move them. Which one is going to be? I should be comfortable in here. You know, I say, I'm praying. The strong demons, I'm praying. I'm covering myself. Mm-hmm. I went out there and sweep outside my front clothes, oiling and praying. And I say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to do? Because I know you don't want me in here in hell and stuff. And on top of that, stuff start breaking down in here. So I say, if I'm missing, do I supposed to move? I supposed to move. Tell me where do you want me to move? Because I know you don't want me to be sitting in here in hell and this.
Then
I got a word. Thank God's going to move your neighbor. So... yeah, there's three neighbors moved out, but it seemed like the one with the marijuana still here.
It's still there. Oh, Lord.
They did. It was some of them moving out. I don't know if they were part of it, but somebody's still here. So I just say, Lord, shut it down. If you want to, if you're using me here, clean this place up.
Yes.
Shut it down. Come in, that it would not come over here. You blow back over there to them. And if I asked that person, did they do it and told them that stuff coming to my apartment and they don't respect that, then you deal with them, Father. You deal with them.
Yes. In the name of Jesus, yes.
But that's how the
right.
Spirit tries to bluff you. Won't you get out the will of God?
Yes.
We
I'm
might
not,
have to
I'm
go
not
to
going
the jail.
To God.
Right. We might have to go into the junk. Y'all think I'm playing. We might have to go into the junk and smelling all type of elephant and stuff like that we never smelled before. Yeah. You never know.
You're right. God uses any situation in any season. He does. My God.
And so I understand what she went through. I had worked in a pharmacist, and she told me, well, that's the part about, you know, staying in apartments, can't determine where it's coming from. You know, the apartment's so old, and it's going to come to a vent.
Mm-hmm.
Come to a vent where my whole living room smoked out and it's blazing in my living room?
Mm-mm. No, that's no excuse.
I know I couldn't get nowhere. Him, so I have to go to God. You know, Lord, if you want me to move, don't let me miss it. Either move them or move me. What do you want? What do you want? So when I'm being here praying on PGM with y'all, they can hear me praying because I can hear my voice leaving out my apartment, going down the hall. When you're in a cell of prayer water, your voice will leave where you at and go down the street. I have seen that in the spirit realm. And so I was hearing my voice go through these walls. I could feel it traveling. And honey, it's like the whole thing gets still. It got still. No pin. I'm telling y'all, no pin. You couldn't hear a pin drop. Normally, you can hear them over there playing and laughing, playing their music. You know, probably over there passing whatever they doing. And when that prayer go out, it's like a cease. And even upstairs, my neighbor's so noisy upstairs. When that prayer go out, it's like everything stays still. And you just got to press your way through praying. And one day they heard me. They talking about, help her, Lord, help her. I just kept So telling you, now, okay, so you're going to try me. Well, okay, I'm going to get down here and I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray. And since you're going to blast it, you should hear my voice blast.
I know that's right, Ms. LaShawn. I know that's right.
I know
divided,
I'll probably
divided,
be chicken, y'all. Come on, man.
No, you're right. You're so right.
Okay. And so when they see me, they had a head down and don't know about their business. So my neighbor, the one stay across from me, he said, man, they whatever they smoking, it's all down here in my garage. I don't know what that is, but it's all over. But he had gave me some Fabulosin and he told me to put it in a pot. Put it in a pot, put a little water in it, and then he said that's gonna clear it out. And it did. It worked. I said, oh my God, thank you. It worked.
Yes, it does work. I've also boiled Dr. Teal. It's the essence salt. Yes, I boiled that, had the whole place lit up because we was trying to figure out where the smell was coming from because we had an odor too. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and there's a musty odor coming from my son's room. And we were trying to figure out, like, where else is it? It was getting trapped in the type of furniture, the material that we had. And so we were like, we can't breathe. So we went from boiling the Fabuloso to boiling Lysol to using the Dr. Teal. And I'm telling you, your whole apartment will be lit. It'll smell so good. And it helps us to, like, focus and breathe and stuff because it's, like, it's the kind where you just – dump in the tub and relax and stuff, in a hot bath. And so, yes, it filled the whole apartment. I'm telling you, it was like, hey, how you doing to each other? You doing
well,
okay?
I'm going to have to try it. I'm going to have to try that because I have some at Walmart.
Yes,
I have some in my bathroom. And I'm going to try that because I know that Dr. Till, you get up in there, you be relaxed.
I'm trying to tell you.
And yes, we don't have no other callers on with their hands up, so that's why I kept you on because if you'd like to be ministered to or you need a prayer request or you want to jump in the conversation, if you got anything else that, you know, you got any word of encouragement for our sister, you're more than welcome to come on and speak. You press 1 and I'll be happy to release your line. But I'm going to have to try that. I'm going to have to do that.
I'm telling you, it smells so good. You'll be so relaxed. You probably won't even need a cup of coffee. I don't know if you drink coffee, but you won't need one after you boil it all. You'll be so relaxed, so refreshed. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I know. I tell you, I use the essence oil and everything. You do relax you. But just I have to try that in the pot and let it, you know, because I tell you, the closing event help a little bit, you know, help sometimes. And that's how I know who it is. I know they lied to me, but I know who it is because every time I come in my kitchen, it's coming from the kitchen. So it's coming from the pump side, the one I went to ask and said no. It got to be coming from over there. So. Because it's not in my bedroom, not in the living room. It's coming from the kitchen.
So I understand
because I'm like, Lord, I can't. Sometimes I be joking, y'all. Anybody know me? I don't drink and I don't smoke. They up here trying to get me high. I don't sit up in my own place. I'm going to sit in my own place. And I don't do this stuff. Somebody said, cut on your fins. One of my friends said, cut on your fin, open your door, because you're going to get high. You're going to be high. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. I tell you. So I understand with certain places, you know, and I believe, because I remember when we was younger, we stayed in a project, in West Dallas Project. And that project, they had a factory over there that was shooting out lead. It was lead all over that project. And I remember us cutting on the water and it would come out brown. And my mom took me to go get, you know how you have to get vaccinated for your shot because you're a little, you know, little kid, you got all these little things you got to get shot for. She took me to this clinic and they shot me with a needle. I could not walk. It made me not walk. And it put a dent in my leg. Right today, you can see the dent in my leg. The form of my leg.
Gosh.
And
what was
I just,
like?
I come on now, y'all. I'm trying to give y'all a hint about these shots now.
That sound like a vaccine, coronavirus vaccine.
And so I remember they had to tote me upstairs. They had to put me in the bed. I couldn't walk. I remember. Thank God that he restored whatever they had stuck in me. But I still got the effect. It's still in my leg. And so when they came out with the vaccine for this virus, it reminded me, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a child when that happened to me. And I know a lot of people have got sign effects of shots that they got, you know, couldn't walk or they didn't have this and stuff like that. Everybody's body's not made for stuff like that. And it just reminds what happened to me as a little girl when I had got a shot in my leg. But they end up closing down those projects because they were full of lead. And I was just sharing that with somebody just the other day. I believe everybody that was in those projects, they should have rewarded them because it was so much they get away, yes. The wicked, crooked man get away with things that you and they ain't getting away with nothing. They still got to answer for it. But they cover They know that was in their disguise. What they did, they knocked it down, they tore it down and told people, you know, move people, you know, out of there. So they end up tearing down all the projects.
Wow.
So you turn down all the project, but you didn't reward nobody. Because I remember my feet used to swell up. And I just think because of that shot.
Mm.
And I was just sharing that with somebody. I just believe because of that shot, it caused a lot of stuff that went on in my body. But thank God we come against it.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Oh, my God.
So I just be asking God, how long you going to let the hand of the wicked, they think they God, and they marking you, they putting their, I could just see them putting their hands in his face, marking you, ha, 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 you know, how long they think they're going to get rid, you know, using stuff to, you know, to change DNA, to change what God created to try to block the sun, and how long you going to allow them to get away with this stuff. You see them, what they're doing, especially with the children, the sex trafficking, the perversion that's in the church and the body of Christ. You know, that's my cry. How long you going to let the hand of the wicked think they can mark you, laugh in your face, and sit up there and say, they God, and think they can sit on their throne, and even they putting stuff in children's food in the water at the school. You know, how long you going to allow them to go do it? How long you going to let them treat the poor? They trying to wipe out half of the population. How long? How are they going to try to redo something that you created from the beginning? When you sit there and you created everything, you created heaven and earth, you created everything above, you created everything below, you created everything in the sea, everything that fly, the blood birds flying out the dropping dead out the sky because they putting something in the earth. How long you going to let them get away with it, Lord? And my cry is saying, crack open heaven, open the windows of heaven. Let them see how real you are. You know, send your wrath. We just need a word from heaven. I want God to speak in this season. I ain't saying the angel. I want his voice to speak because we know when God speaks, it's like thunder. When God speaks, he's going to shake this earth out of its foundation. And it's going to swallow up everything, every principality, every power, everything that's wicked. It's going to wipe it out.
Jesus.
How long, Father, you going to allow them to get away? Manipulating your people, deceiving your people, even trying to go after the innocent little children. Thinking these people been doing, getting away with stuff for years. Why you think they all over there in a poor country?
Yes.
They've been crunching up these vaccines and these virus and man-made stuff.
Yes, yes.
Send your hammer out on the lab. Crush every lab. That's my prayer. Don't even let them get led back. Send a boomerang from heaven. Everything they trying to do to your people, let it boomerang back on them.
Yes.
Y'all are kidding. I don't be playing. I know it's other people out there. The stuff that we are seeing now, what they saying, you be like, I just sit up there and say, Lord, what is this world coming to? The stuff that they saying, they'll manifest. They don't even care. They ain't even watching what they say. They saying right there on TV in front of your face and dare not to take it back.
My God. You're so right. You're so right.
So we can put the lead, we can put the poison in the poor neighborhood to try to wipe them out, to do something to the kids' brain, saying they got ADHD because it's the stuff they putting in Similac. It's the shots that they giving to the children. Y'all don't want me to get started on here. God show the hand of the wicked what they really doing.
My God, Jesus, you're so right. You're so right. I kept my
They've been doing this stuff
vaccinated.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing wicked things years.
Yes.
Even when the men went out to Vietnam, they were shooting them up with stuff. And certain minority were coming back with these diseases that they didn't give them shots. They were putting shot diseases up in them.
Jesus.
But you know, in the book, if you go look in the book I'm talking about is the bread of life. If you go read in the bread of life, and I believe it's in Proverbs, it tell you how they was going to do stuff. They're going to take your women. They don't want the men. Mm. Even when we look at Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh told the midwife? Kill every male. In the book even tell us, even after Pharaoh, how they want the women. They don't want nothing to do with the men. Look what Scottus, when he was looking for Jesus, he said kill every he killed every male.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, the same been going on. It's a repeated cycle.
Yes.
Even when they were sitting up there saying they discovered the world, the reason why some of our generation, especially in the black community, it has a mindset like this. Look what they had to go through. When you have somebody that you ain't normal to see that come into your city, that come into your country and snatch your wife, snatch your children and rape them in front of you, that's the only thing you see. That's the only thing you know as a little boy, and you think that's right.
Yes, my God.
Snatch your wife away from you. And begin to have their way with them. Not only over there in Africa, they came here in the United States and did it to the Indians.
Yes.
How you think that made a man feel? That strip a man of his ability and his identity to see his woman, his wife, or his daughter snatch up like this. But in the book tell us they were going to do that. They were going to come and get the women on their hip. They were coming. It's in the book. I tell you stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, it's right here in the book.
My God.
God's telling them, let my people go. Let my people go so they can go back to the land. I promise. Let my people go so they can go back. He's saying, let my people go from the east, the west, and the north so they can go back to their rightful place where they belong.
Yes.
He even talk about them judges. He talk about the lawyers and the book of Proverbs. You convicting the innocent man, God gonna deal with you. You think I'm lying? Go read it for yourself. It's in there.
My God.
It's in the book.
My God.
I ain't finna tell you nothing that's in the book. I might not say exactly word for word, but it's in that book.
Wow.
He talks about everything. So you cannot look at this thing as a color thing, because he was talking about all people. They did it to the Vietnam, the China, Japanese, when they was over there at war. They said what they were doing to the women over there.
That's true.
That's what they've been doing.
Sure.
They've been doing this stuff. This ain't no colorful thing. They've been doing it for all different races, to the poor people, the less poor. They've been doing it. And God, they got the answer. You better believe they ain't getting away with nothing. God say, sin. Do you not know anybody murder? And do you not know if anybody rape a woman? Rape is just like you murdering. Rape is like you murdering that person. God say, send them to me. You didn't know that was in there? Send them to me. That's what he said. And I used to wonder, well, how are they going to send them to you, God? What you talking about sending to them? Send them to you. That's because he gonna judge you.
Wow.
Ain't getting away with nothing when they take their breath here. They take their last breath here. You best believe they gonna be judged. They gonna see God.
My God.
Rape is just like somebody murdering somebody. That's how God sees you murdering somebody by you raping that person.
Yeah, you now made
child
them a
molested.
Walking dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You molest that child.
Jesus.
Come on now.
Jesus.
People don't want to hear this, but it's in the book. Open the book and see it for yourself.
Like,
this is stuff people don't want to hear about. They don't want to hear about it.
No, we need to.
Like I said, God is a just. He's a just God. And he's the judge God. You don't try to judge
yes.
him because God already said, "Send them to me."
My God,
there's some things God just ain't gonna tolerate. I was reading about Tamar, how her own, I think it was her own brother raped her, and the Holy Spirit
yes.
said, Holy Spirit said, that's what's going on in the church. So many women, they not speaking up, they being raped. So many young girls being raped right up in the building, right in the church.
Oh,
that's what they doing.
God.
That's what they doing. That's what they doing.
Oh.
That's what I heard. I say, God, I mean, you know me. Lord, expose them. Don't let them
yes.
get away with it. Expose them. Rip the veil. Expose what they really doing. This stuff is not new up under the sun. It was then we read about it. It's going on in people's households. The own brother raping the sister. The pastor raping the little. Come on, y'all. Nothing new up under the sun. Nothing new up under the sun.
My God. You're so right. My God. My God. And that's the word. He said, it's nothing new up under the sun. It's nothing new. Wow. Wow, my God.
So we got to keep our children covered. We got to keep them covered.
Yeah.
You were talking about go
yes,
with
ma'am.
The pastor. You want to send your kids out because he's a pastor and leader. And then you better be careful. You better be careful with all that stuff. Stop trying
yes.
to get rid of your kids and trust everybody because
yes.
they're pastors and leaders.
Yes. You telling the truth then. You telling the truth. I don't play about my kids. Mm-mm. I don't let nobody up in here, and I don't let them go to nobody's house. This was before the pandemic. I don't play that because I was molested when I was growing up. No, it ain't going down like that. Mm-mm. Are you trying to come over with, I need to know your parents. I need to know where you live. You know, I need to make sure your parents ain't trying to, you know, skip dodge, you know, get out of town for a while you over here, you know. This was before the pandemic, though. I had lived next door, similar to what you're going through. My neighbors was smoking loud, doing all that other stuff, and I had taken in the kids, like not taking in to live with me, but I would let them
right,
come over.
Right,
right. The kids and stuff. I would feed them because their mom, she was so busy smoking weed and doing stuff. They wasn't being fed. They wasn't being taken care of, you know. And so I just did so much for them, but I didn't play that. And I sent them back home at 7:30. Don't come knocking at my door. Saying, can you come over and watch TV or whatever? Nope. And then especially on Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, you're not coming over before 10 o'clock because we're still in the bed, you know. But it's just, I took them in because I seen their mom, the stuff that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Them kids wasn't fed. Like Mr. Sean used to come into my apartment and just lay on the floor, literally just lay on the floor.
No.
And I'm like, why do you stay on the couch? And they say, because your floor feels so good. It feels so good. And it was clean. It was just laid out on the floor. You know, I love those kids. Yeah, I love those
you.
Kids, you know. I took care of them like they were my own. I haven't seen them in about 2-3 years, but they was like my kids. Everything I did with my kids, they was with me too. You know, we went out to eat, they was with me. We went out to go swimming, whatever, they was there, you know. But I didn't play that. I still don't play that. I don't let nobody over here. My daughter's like, Mom, but that's my friend. Like when she was in school, I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Do you know them? You know where they live? Do they take care of you? Will they help you if you need something? Like, so no, they're not your friend. You don't know them like that. Mm-hmm. And they ain't coming mm-hmm. over here.
And you know, sometimes God would use put people there to take care of kids like that. Yes, because yes. That's why you got to pay attention.
Yes,
they trying to escape what's going on in their house.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I was like that. You know, I was molested as a child in the abuse and stuff that was in the house. Not only molested, but we was abused. Mm-hmm. And I would go over to my family. I would go over to my friend how they would hide me and stuff. They knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. They would hide me. And I would sleep up under their beds and stuff like that. Being there, they mm-hmm. family didn't even know I was in there. It'd be sleeping up under the bed.
My God.
They thought I went home, but still up in there, and then got up, and we went to school. I would always go to school, though.
Wow.
Because people feel comfortable over other people's house where they know they, especially kids, know they're not going to get hurt.
Yes, yes. Yes, and that's how it was. I love them. Me and my kids, we still talk about them now. I say, God, I hope we see them. You know, I want to know how they're doing. I just want to know how they're doing because I used to feel so bad, like no clothes. They used to go to school with holes in their sneakers. You know, their clothes would be ratted and tatted up and stuff like that. They just looked like they were just, you know, thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Miss Cindy, can we come over? Miss Cindy, I'm like, okay, all right, come on. What you cooking today? Like, it didn't matter. And then I started having their cousins come over. So I was like feeding, it was my three plus about five other kids. And I would just feed them. Mm-hmm. Whatever we had, you know, I would just feed them. If we was like rice and chicken, that's what it was. If it was like pork chops. It didn't matter. I would lay out a blanket because I can't fit all of them to the table. So I would lay out a blanket and let them come and sit down and eat on the floor or whatever. You know, we did things together, had projects and stuff. And the Lord had blessed me one time. My income tax, I was able to get them some stuff for Christmas. And I felt so good. I felt so good because their mom had been promising them stuff. And she never did it. And so they were just like, you know, I wonder what kind of Christmas we going to have. Mama said she going to do that. Ain't do it. Ain't do nothing. So the Lord was like, go ahead and, you know, just let them pick out what they want. And I did. And it felt so good to see their faces. Like, you know, I got a toy this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank you. You know, it was good. I think
that. Amen. Sometimes he'll use kids to be at people's house like that. You got to have the spirit of discernment to know what's going on. God, he'll do it. So we thank God. Well, nobody else got their hands up. Let me see. We're going to go ahead and end the show. We thank y'all for calling in. And it's a lot of people on here. Well, some people dropped off, look like. But we thank y'all for just joining in, listening to the conversation. You know, we thank y'all for calling in and staying on the line, listening to the conversation. And, you know, God bless you. Keep these children, babies in prayer. If God use you to be a mother to a child, you know, do that. Don't talk about them, you know, help them out. Because, you know, let God give you the discernment. I was speaking to someone, and one of the neighbors was telling me about a little girl that was wanting to play with their little girl. But I guess the Holy Spirit revealed something to them, but they began to talk to the little girl, and the little girl was 10 years old. And the little girl said she has a girlfriend. And my friend say, what you mean a girlfriend? She say, like a friend girl, you know, no, I have a girlfriend. I'm in a relationship with a girl. And this little girl is 10 years old. And they was like, do you not know what you're saying? Yeah, I know what I'm saying. Your mom and them allow you to do this? Well, my parents don't know about it, and don't you tell them. I'm like, what? And are you, you know, active, doing some? Yeah, we do it. We do what we supposed to be, you know. We do it, and I like it. A 10-year-old, y'all. 10-year-old. Y'all didn't hear me say 25 to 8. I say 10-year-old. We need to be praying for our young generation. We need to pray for them. What does a 10-year-old know about doing stuff that God even prevent us to do? But, you know, things we should not be doing. And our children should not be doing either. I don't know if she's still on here or what, but pray for our children. Where are they getting it from? And so we just ask the Lord to intervene with our children. They're getting this stuff off of YouTube. They're getting this stuff off of TikTok. They're getting this stuff off of robots, whatever you call that thing. They're teaching your children, and then they passing laws in different countries, different states, saying we want to teach your kids about masturbation is okay. Let me tell you something, parents. You are the parent. You are responsible for your kids. You are the parent. You are responsible for your kids. You need to go to the school and say, not my child. My child will not be in no class that's teaching anything like this. Not my child. You're not going to put my child in nothing, no curriculum. You have the right as a parent to say, not my child. My child would not be involved. I want my child to not be to participate in what you're teaching today. Not my child. I don't know if y'all can still hear me on here. If y'all can still hear me, let me know. But you need to step up and say, not my child. My child would not be involved in that. They would not be participating. When they teaching about witchcraft and they teaching about what the Pope and them and all them then did, you know, that's not, when they teach them about the wrong history, you know, that you know that's not right, my child would not be participating in nothing like this. I don't care if your child is in high school. I don't care if your child is in elementary school. You are the parent. And you are responsible for their child. When more parents step up and say, you will not be teaching my child, just like my grandson will come home with the Harry Potter books. And I told my daughter, they won't be coming up in her. She bucked and got mad at me. I said, this is my house. And they will not be bringing it up in her. Bring another witchcraft book up in her. Watch and see what I do. And my grandson did it. And guess what I did? I burnt that book up. My daughter, she acted up. She did. She acted up. You gonna pay for that book. I told her the devil is a lie. Don't you know I ain't pay for that book? Because I said, I want that teacher to call me and tell me I'm gonna pay for a book. Because I said, it's not coming up in here. None of those books by witchcraft and wizards are coming up in here. Matter of fact, let me call the school. And I tell the school, they not allowed to go into the library and check these books out. Come on, y'all. You are responsible for your children. Fight for your children. You going to teach a kindergarten, a child that's in pre-K? You going to teach them about masturbation? I don't think so. Not my child. My child ain't finna learn nothing about, no, not at that age. It's okay for them to touch their body. Now, the devil is alive. We don't teach them that in my house. in my house, we will serve the Lord. You're going to be held accountable. You're going to be held accountable. You better step up and be the mouthpiece for your children. No, my child ain't. Nope, nope. I don't care what you say. Not mine. Fight for these children. I'm telling y'all, fight for these children. So, you know, Father God, we ask that you cover the children. Father God, even cover these children, even in their own household, for being bullied from their own parents, for being bullied from even their own sisters and brothers. We ask that you cover them, Father God. We ask that you protect them, and we ask that you be the head of the household. Even if the parent don't know, Father God, teach the parent thy way. You know, send somebody that can help those that don't know. You know, send a neighbor to help that woman out that's struggling, that's a single parent, that's struggling with those 3, 4, 5, 6 kids that don't know. And Father God, we just ask for the protection over these children. Father God, let them know your word. And we just come against any confusion that the enemy is trying to cause about their true identity. Their true identity is with you. Their true identity, you knew their identity before you formed them. You already knew they was going to be a girl. They was going to be a boy. So, Father God, we come against the adversary that's trying to implant this thing in the mind, because it's all in the White House. It's all in the government. It's all a law that they passed. And, Father God, we just ask that you send the angel with the statue of your law, the statue of the law of liberty, to be in the White House, to be in the Congress, to be up on that board, Father God, even in the court, even in the school district. Send the angel with the torch, with the book up in their hand, the law of the liberty. Let your law of liberty be slammed down on Washington. Let the law of your liberty be slammed down on every state Congress. Let your law of liberty be slammed down in every school board. Oh, Father God, you send the angel. Release the angel with your law of liberty. Let your law of liberty be arrayed across this country, across this nation, in the name of Jesus. You open your book, your law of liberty, and I speak that every state will line up with your law of liberty. Oh, Father God, that every child will line up with your law of liberty. Oh, Father God, every Congress, every president, oh, Father God, that they will line up with the law of liberty. The law of liberty is going to set them free. The law of liberty, let the chains be broken off of their mind. Anything that the enemy is trying to deceive them, oh, Father God, we ask that you release your word upon this nation in the mighty name of Jesus. We cover these children's mind. What the enemy is trying to implant in their mind, we say, not so. Not so. They will know their true identity in this season, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for coming on. I thank you for inviting PGN into your household. You have a blessed night, a blessed weekend. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, that God know the plan that he have for your life. I say God know the plan that he have for your life. It's the plan of good and not of evil, so you can have an expected end. You line up with the will of God. And remember the word Deuteronomy 28:13. Even go and read the whole book of Deuteronomy 28. And I just pray that this word has been a blessing and it fed your spirit, man. And thank you for coming on. I don't know who's going to be on tomorrow, but we give God the honor. We give him the glory. And, you know, God love you and so do I. Y'all have a blessed weekend. And, you know, hey, God is in control. Bye-bye.